kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Not joining me as usual is Cole because she still doesn't have electricity, but I got backup. Pernell's here. Pernell, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I got electricity and I'm thankful for that, but I ended up misusing it by oversleeping. So I guess it goes both ways in a sense, but yeah, we're hoping for the best for Cole and also for Chris. So when they join us, they can get back to the ribbing and the jabbing like they normally do.
Indeed. Hopefully next episode we'll be back to normal. But for now, I've got you here for now. Later on in the show, Jacob's going to be dropping by and Tim's going to be dropping by to chat about the news and reviews. But before all that, we have a guest joining us. Are you excited about this?
I would be, but I didn't wear my cummerbund. I look trashy right now. What is he going to think of me? My pants.
That you're sloppy.
We're PJs, man.
That you're sloppy. That's horrible, Pernell. Supposed to dress up.
You guys are wearing pants right now?
Oh, I take that back. I feel much better. Much better.
Alexander, I'm going to try this. Gavrilovic?
Oh, almost right, but completely wrong. But it's okay.
Let me try it. Right, try Gavrilovic.
No, the letters are all wrong, man. It's
in my defense, I wasn't even reading anything. I just said it.
It's Gavrilovic, which is like Russian sounding, you know, with the itch in the end, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's okay. Just call me Alex, and it's gonna be fine.
Well, you are from GameChuck.
Yes.
You just released a game, Speed Limit. For the people who don't know what this game is, give us the sales pitch.
So Speed Limit is a love letter to old school arcade gaming. It's a game in which, although it's very, very hard, it also adds the difficulty by actually changing the entire gameplay every few levels. So once you think you've got the hang of a side-scrolling shooter, the game changes perspectives and genres on you completely, and you're suddenly in a car and it's a top-down racer, or it's a over-the-shoulders 3D bike riding game, you know. And as you're going through the game, you're actually reliving all those retro classic genres, you know, which were very famous in the 80s and 90s. And from a visual or a narrative perspective, it's reminiscent of 80s and 90s action movies. So it relies heavily on references to like Die Hard and Speed and Blue Thunder and even newer movies like Wolverine or Matrix and so on. These are the inspirations. So the pitch would be, if you like these things and if you like hard games which are like tough as nails, you're going to probably love Speed Limit.
I can totally agree that it is a tough game. I have not beaten it myself yet. I have made it to I think stage 10.
Wow, you're really, really close.
I know I'm near the end. I know I'm close because I did watch a playthrough. I wanted to see the whole thing all the way through. I was told it's not a super long game. I know there's even achievement for beating it in under a half hour. Since it's not that long of a game, I'm going full spoilers on this episode. I want to talk about this entire game start to finish, ending included, because I fucking loved this game.
I concur. Sure. Like, there's something about it where, like you mentioned earlier, how it's really hard, and that's true. But this is one of those games where I feel like the difficulty isn't necessarily a deterrent unless you're just genuinely the type that needs instant gratification on your successes, because you get rewound so often. It has that Katana Zero effect where when you die, it just drops you back a few paces, and it's like, do it again, and again, and again. And eventually, you just pull it off. You just do it. And in a sense, it gives you the genuine sense and understanding that to get a real action movie feel out of an experience, it's probably going to be this difficult, because that's just how wild and bonkers these kinds of things are. Like, think about like an actual movie filming this and how many times they got to take it to get it right.
I couldn't even imagine this being a movie. Well, I could imagine this being a movie. That would be, I could totally, yeah, this would work really well as a movie. I just don't know how the, all the genre splits and jumps, how that would translate to the screen. But well, I,
you know, they would just, they would have moments where they do like flashbacks to kind of slow it down a bit to have the characters talking about, why do you like wearing white shirts so much? Well, I mean, if I get it dirty, it costs me $5. I just throw it in the washing machine, get another one, whoop-de-doo. And they go back to him driving the motorcycle. I'm like, I still love this white shirt. And he's just like driving. It's just great. Like, they would fill it in with the proper stuff. It would work totally fine.
Did you guys get the narrative? You know, the actual story, what's happening? Why are you being chased?
That I haven't figured out yet, because Joe said he got to stage 10. Like, before today, I think I'd gotten to stage 3. And before the recording, I was like, no, I can't stop at stage 3. I'd feel terrible. So I just kind of played for a bit leading up to the episode. I got to stage 8. So I'm proud of that, at least. But
you were really close to the end, guys. So it's so if you want, I'll spoil it later on. You know, no problem. Yeah,
I really do. I want to go step by step through this game, talking about the levels, talking about the references in game design and to pop culture. I want to go through the whole game. It starts off. It's a dude on a train. And he's about to have the worst day of his life.
Yeah, that's basically day,
depending on how you look at it.
So the beginning is this: you're riding in a train, you're scrolling through your news feed or whatever on your mobile phone, and some ragged guy in shabby clothes comes near you and just collapses next to you. But before he collapses, he gives you the gun in his gun in your hand, and suddenly everybody's out to get you. And you don't know what to do. Reason doesn't work. You know, if you stay there with your hands in the air, you're just going to die. So you have to run. And that's the name of the level, Run. And actually the entire story from that moment on is told without any words. So the only things that you get in any language is just the level names. So in this first level is just run, and you just run through the train, shoot everybody who comes at you. If you fail, yeah, there's this beautiful rewind VHS tape effect, you know, which also reminds a lot of the old 80s movies, you know, not them per se, but the medium that we watched them on, you know. Go through the entire train, and in the end climb some huge heap of baggage and climb up the train. And then the second level is actually similar to the first one, so it's again still a side-scrolling shooter, but this time a bigger emphasis is put on jumping, because you're on the train, so there's a lot of ramps coming. Trains are being decoupled by your enemies, you know, and you have to jump much more than in the first level, in which you had like a small jump just to go over some like baggage and luggage and stuff like that. And
now, question about the first stage before we get too far away from it. So one thing that I think I liked about the game, assuming this was intentional, of course, is that the emphasis is placed on running for much of the game, and especially on the first stage. However, there was at least two parts, I think, where, and I think this is where a player would ultimately have to die unless they know what they're doing in advance, where you're actually meant to slow down, because there's a part where, like, you go into the one train car and all the guys are reading the newspaper. And then as you run in, they all start coming out with their knives and they're trying to stab you. And at first you're like, just run and shoot and you're fine. But the moment you jump over that small box and they can't catch anymore, if you didn't clear the melee behind you, you just got a swarm of knives going over that you really can't dodge. Like, you have to get them before you move on. But if you wait till after that jump, you'll never get the clearance to shoot them before someone on the roof shoots you first. So
I died on that goddamn room so many times today. Oh,
so it is rough.
Yeah, there's so many strategies to do it, you know, and that's also one interesting part of the game. So these things are not just action and reflexes. It's also a puzzle, and you have to figure out your best strategy to go through it, you know. Different people have different strategies. For example, I've seen some playthroughs, really, really good speedruns, where people just run and don't kill any of them, you know? And the only thing.
Really?
Yeah, and then they duck and all the knives pass, you know? There's like 50 knives passing his head, you know? And then he just stands up and goes running. There are other runs. So my favorite way to do it is just moving in the trench coat car bit by bit, you know, maybe pixel by pixel, and as they stand up, just kill them. You know, that's what I do.
Like, that was my go-to also, because I tried to do what you described the speedrunner doing, which is jump over the bags, duck, wait for the hail of knives, and then get gone. But then here's the problem. They have more knives. And they're still... They give it with the second volley. There's no stopping that train. Get it? But it was rough. But at the same time, I was like, you know, I can't do this. I gotta take a step back. So I was like, maybe they'll just watch me kill their friends and I can just kind of piecemeal it bit by bit. Yeah, and they did.
It's super hard, and the problem is that this is the first level, you know. So there's this whole game design theory where you have to have a learning curve, you know. And we just said no. The first level is going to be super hard. Deal with it, you know.
I can appreciate that too, because there's something to that learning curve bit where. Like you said, game design is meant to have you tell, okay, starts out simple, and then it gets ramped up and harder and harder. But here's the thing. One, your game is short, so you want to put as much into that short game as possible so you don't have a ramp-up period. It's here's your game, play it. second part is that the game itself isn't complex. It's just taking the small toolkit you get and applying it to the environment itself. So there's also no need for a real training curve. It's just, hey, you can jump, you can shoot, and you can move your character. There you go. You can figure this out. What do you need a training period for?
Yeah, so I don't know if you... So this level, you know, it's an interesting tidbit of retro gaming history. So it's inspired by Metal Slug. I don't know if you've played Metal Slug.
Of course.
Yeah, and not a lot of people know this, but during the development, I figured this out. In the first level of Metal Slug, you can't actually die, you know? All the enemies that are coming towards you, they're just super afraid of you, you know? And they're just waiting for you to shoot them. So pretty much the entirety, almost the entirety of the first level is like you can't die. So that's the kind of tutorial hand-holding that we didn't want to put in. So we just wanted you to really experience the speed of everything super fast. If it were easier, then you could probably slow down, you know. And then there's this whole thing that if you do slow down in this level, there's this huge conga line. That's how we call it. The huge conga line of enemy characters who are actually coming from the left, you know. And there's an infinite amount of them, you know, and so the gameplay mechanic itself is trying to move you as much as possible at as greater speeds as possible. So yeah, and we're actually super proud of that, you know, because we managed to convey speed while still giving the player the option of moving, you know, because mostly when you have a very fast game, it's actually the camera is moving and you can't stop and so on. But we have both. We have a character who can stop a little bit, think, but still can't really stay in the same cart for a long time because something is going to swarm him from the left.
Funny thing you say that too, because I did notice those guys at one point, but didn't process it in the way you're describing it. However, on a later level, I got that exact experience and I was like, this is really cool. It was like it was the tunnel vision level where you're on the bike going, I'm driving towards the screen. And I got to a point, I was like, man, I'm having trouble, you know, spotting these cars that are coming. I need to slow down so I can time get in between these cars. And as I slowed down, I noticed a windshield coming up from behind. I was like, what the heck is this? And I got hit by a car. So wait a minute, there's a guy chasing me this whole time. I had no idea. So now I'm like, I can't stop. I got to maintain the speed limit.
Yeah, we try to add something like that in every level, you know, that actually moving slower has some penalty, you know. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the motorbike, but also in the car level, if you slow down, the camera doesn't figure out that you slowed down, you know, and then the camera keeps moving like a helicopter, you know, it's like a helicopter footage, you know, which is like chasing you from the top, you know, and then when you slow down, you know, it's a little bit slower to come back, you know, and pick up on where you were, you know, which looks nice, but actually in the gameplay, in the level design way, it confuses you. You don't know where you are. You don't know where your enemies are. And that's what actually makes you not want to do that, you know, because you want to be in the clear about where you are, where your enemies are, and so on. Not have the camera move past you. Yeah, so in every level, we have something like this. In the helicopter levels, we also have something like this, but it's more... So the whole helicopter level is actually... tuned to the normal speed. So if you go a little bit slower, more enemies are going to swarm at a certain point, and it's going to be actually more difficult for you to maneuver, you know, or just different. Yeah. And if you move very fast, a lot of enemies. So actually the way you move is going to change the way things appear, you know, because they are showing up at certain points after you pass some checkpoints. So if you're passing the checkpoints faster, enemies are going to be cluttered more closely.
That does make sense, yeah, because the helicopter levels, like I said, where I stopped, that was the second helicopter stage. And that was a level where you really have to be very smart about how you crowd control your enemies coming in, because you have the gunboats and they're shooting up at you, which for a while, I didn't even know they were gunboats. I was like, okay, I'm blowing up these boats. That's just cool. And then one, they just died. I was like, why am I dead? I didn't get shot by anything. And it turns out, oh, they're gunboats. Damn it.
Everything's out to kill you in this game, Purnell. Everything.
I think the bridge tried to chomp down on me if I slowed down too much.
Which one?
No, I was joking, but I was like, how the bridge, like I crashed into the side of the bridges sometimes in the helicopter. I'm like, I think the bridge tried to eat me.
Yeah. I mean, the perspective in that one is quite complex, but that's why we added the shadow, you know? And then
the shadow helps.
Instead of looking at the helicopter, if you just look at the shadow and focus your eyes on that, it's much easier to maneuver, you know, not hit in every bridge and so on. Yeah, so all these elements are actually thought out, you know, so it's really like game design everywhere, you know.
Those helicopter stages, the first game that came to mind when I started playing that one with the angle and the shadow at the bottom was Zaxxon.
I don't remember Zax, but let me Google it. How do you actually spell it?
Zaxxon. The Sega game for like Atari and ColecoVision and I think arcades.
Ah, yes, I know it. Yes, I see. Yes.
I'm dating myself with that one. I'm fucking old people.
It's an old man podcast. We are old people. No.
did you maybe play Return of the Jedi on the Atari?
No, I did not.
It's also isometric, you know, and you're flying with the Millennium Falcon and evading certain, like, you're in the Death Star and you're avoiding certain pipes and whatever, you know. Probably similar to Zaxxon and so on. Yeah, so this was an inspiration.
Out of curiosity,
go ahead, Purnell.
I was going to ask, like, out of curiosity, how long did you say it took you from inception to completion to rock to knock this game out?
So difficult to say, actually, because the idea came from Igor, who actually had it for quite some time, but we didn't sit down to do the game, like not full time. Actually, we actually did an endless runner kind of game, which had just one level, which we thought was going to be the easiest to make, and that's level 2. So if you just have the cars, they're separating and you're just jumping from one to the other, and then there's some ramps coming. It was really like a one button game, you know, and that took us like a few days, and then we were super excited, wow, we can make something fun in a few days, you know, but there were no enemies and so on. Yeah. And then we said, well, probably we can make this entire game, you know, with the genres changes and so on, maybe in a few months, you know. So that was how naive we were, you know?
Dreams beget his dreams.
12 years later, no?
So it took us, I think, a few months to make that stage actually viable to show somewhere. And we put it on Itch and some other, maybe also on Android mobile phones and so on. So, and it was okay, but still we weren't super happy with it. There was no entering tunnels and other cool stuff which you have now in the game. I mean, if you remember in the first and second level when you enter the tunnel and there's this whole other visual style, you know, everything is black and white. That kind of stuff helps a lot, you know. And we didn't have any of that, you know. But at least we had like a finished level with like four or five enemies, you know, very simple and so on. And okay, but it took us a few months. And then we figured out, okay, probably it's going to take a few months for every level, you know, so it's going to be probably like 10 months or so, yeah? And then we said, okay, let's find a programmer, let's find another pixel artist, and let's start doing it, you know? And then we started doing it, I think, in the middle of 2019, you know? And that's when we really started working on it full-time. And after 6 months, you know, it was already like December 2019, we were still in the first few levels, you know, and then we figured out, wow, we really want to make this huge thing, you know, we really want to handcraft every little bit in the level. And then we said, okay, we need more programmers, we need more pixel art power and so on. So both Igor and Yuritsa did pixel art full time from that moment. And then we got another programmer, so we had two programmers, and then we got another programmer who was actually just part time because she's a student at the faculty, but that's actually three programmers then, and a full time level designer for a few months, you know, who helped us out. And the music was also full time for many months, you know, which is Matija. And that's when we actually got to make it in time, you know. And sometime in last summer, you know, August 2020, let's say that's the ballpark, you know, July, August, was when we finished it, you know. And we said, okay, this is the gold disc, this works, this is done, you know. Maybe there's going to be some bug, but we'll fix it, that's it. And we gave it to our publisher. And then they spent some months porting it to consoles and so on. And then it was already, you know, November, December, Cyberpunk coming out, you know. And we said, okay, let's not release it in the end of the year. Let's wait for February, you know.
Yeah, why not January? Good idea. You know? No one wants to release at the end of the year.
Yes. And also, you don't want to release on January, right? Because people are going to be super broke from Christmas and everything. So we said, okay, let's do it on February, you know. And that's, I think that was a very good idea because we had many months of the game actually being polished that we can make screen caps, trailers, get the marketing, you know, working. And I think it paid out. I think that on release week, which was this week, it was really well received all over, you know. We had a lot of different reviews on Metacritic as well, you know. Metacritic actually hasn't kept up with all the Metacritic reviews, you know, so we keep refreshing the page. And almost all of them are super positive, you know, like even one review gave us like 100%, you know.
Wow.
Nice.
It was super weird. Yeah. That's on Nintendo Switch on Metacritic. I was like, whoa. But yeah, mostly they're like 80% or something. People, like you figured out correctly, mostly don't like the length, you know, and the difficulty, you know. So some people say, oh, it's too difficult. Which is by intention, so sure, if you want to give us a lower grade because it's difficult, be my guest. But also they don't like the fact that it's so short, you know. This second part is something that we can actually change. And we're thinking of, since everybody loves this game so much, I think it has like 96% positive on Steam right now, which is like crazy. I think we're just going to keep working on it, you know. We're going to make more updates. We had a meeting on Friday and we said like, okay, what can we add to the game? We don't want to bloat it, you know, we don't want to make it like some kind of a Frankenstein, but we want to add more cool stuff, you know, more modes, you know, more achievements for achievement hunters, stuff like that, you know.
Maybe achievements in this game are crazy too.
Yeah.
There's something like,
yeah.
it's like something that came to mind, and I'm glad you said the idea, like we were talking about expanding the game and whatnot, because though I didn't get to stage 10, so Ferrando, you might have already thought about some of these that I'm thinking about, but are there any other like vehicle concepts that you had in mind for like if you could make the game longer or add a different scenario, like a jetpack level or, I don't know, a pogo stick level, I don't know.
We had a level in mind where you're in a rocket. So, I mean, I'm going to spoil it a little bit for you, but I think Joe has played it already, so he knows. So you get from the helicopter to the plane, to the jet, by ejecting yourself in the rocket, you know, and you're flying on the rocket and you get inside the plane. This is the transition. So it's crazy, like in True Lies, you know that movie? So what happens? We actually wanted a level here where you're on the rocket, you know, with your hands on the rocket, flying in the sky and actually avoiding left, right, different like debris and planes and stuff like that, you know. So we scratched that actually not because of time, but because of the concept of the game trying to be always faster and faster and faster, you know. So you go from a helicopter to the jet plane, you know. But if it were a helicopter to a rocket, you know, which you're on, and then a jet plane, I mean, a rocket is faster than a jet plane, right? So that was scrapped, but maybe if we add some kind of a... So the game doesn't have a hard mode. It has an easy mode and a normal mode. So if we add a hard mode, you know, for extra sadism, then maybe something like this, you know. So this was one, and I think in some early stages of conception, if I remember Igor's sketches, there was also a boat level, a motorboat level. Yeah, like that movie Face Off. You remember that the end of that movie is just a very long, complicated motorboat chase between Travolta and Nick Cage.
Yeah.
A boat scene would be perfect for this game, because I realized that you're shooting at boats on that one level, but yeah, you never actually pilot a boat.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, these are all possibilities, you know, for the future.
And like, and to be frank, like I said before, like the idea that, like, I get that there might be a few people that are like, this is a little bit too hard for me, but I'm like, I don't like, imagine if you actually could slow it down. Like, that kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it? Like, you know, it's supposed to be fast. Like, at most, the only thing I could think of would be like zooming out the camera. But even then, it's like, is that really needed? I mean, you just eventually pick it up and it works. Though, one thing that would be awesome, I'm not sure if it's even feasible given the number of ways you die. Is there any way possible to have a setting where when you beat the game, it can kind of weave together that one perfect run? So even though you die a lot, it can be like, okay, this is the run where they actually got through the checkpoint. So clip that. You know? And you,
I guess we could do it, but what is really interesting is that people are actually doing deathless runs on YouTube.
Also, like they're taking all their good segments and clipping them together using audio.
They're just that good at the game and beating it without dying.
Well, there you go. It's like I can be like, this game is too rough. I die a lot, and they're like, well, go on the internet and learn how terrible you are at this game.
Yeah,
they'll show you. They'll teach you. But
I mean, this one YouTuber, he made it. He made the video and he called it "Better Than Sex." speed limit, you know, without deaths, you know.
I can't imagine beating this game without. Well, first off, I can't imagine beating this game because I haven't yet. But I'm still working at it. I'm dedicated.
Probably there, because like I didn't beat it myself, but I read the achievements list on the main menu, and I think there are only 10 stages. So you're on the last one.
I think there's 11, and I might be on 9. I might 9 or 10. I was checking out the stats.
Are you fighting the big boss, or are you fighting just jet planes?
I'm just fighting the jet planes right now. I haven't gotten to the boss yet.
So there's this big boss level, you know, that's also very difficult. Some people actually like, I don't wanna frighten you, but that one's the most difficult. And then there's one more level, but only if you're playing a normal, and that one's the hidden level. That's why there's no, I mean, it has achievements, but they're all like hidden, so you don't.
So I'm getting an extra stage. That's good to hear, because I'm doing normal.
Ah, good, good. So you're going to get another stage. Perfect. And yeah, that's the stage where you figure out the whole story and everything. Do we talk about it?
I want to talk about it. Purnell, close your ears if you want to, but...
it's the kind of game where, I mean, it's all about just getting through it. I'm fine with that.
I loved the twist that after you beat the boss and after you made it through the wreckage and you crash landed, you find out the twist, which is give it to us.
So yeah, you're falling out of your plane and you crash land into the train and you stand up and you're all shabby and you move to the left and you take your gun and you just give it to this guy in the train, you know, who's scrolling through his mobile phone. And that was you from the beginning of the game. And then everybody starts chasing him, you know, and you figure out that it's all a very elaborate time loop. And if you've been very good with achievements, then in the gallery, you figure out why is it a time loop. And the reason for the time loop is that it's a time gun. The gun itself is a time looping machine. So every time you die, it returns time. That's why you can have so many lives and so on. And it has
so
infinite
the time rewind is actually narrative-based. It's not just a gameplay mechanic.
Yep. But you figure this out in the end, and it's like a super big spoiler. But I guess for your audience, we made an exception and spoiled it, you know?
Hey, I gave the warning at the beginning that I wanted to talk about everything, because when you hand off that gun and the conga line chases you all the way off the train... And you just stand up and just very, very slowly walk away. I was laughing so hard, I was crying.
Well, yeah, it sounds like at least you do get away from it. It's not like you're like, it's not like he died after he handed you the gun. I'm glad to hear that at least. He asked
you,
well,
you stand up, you know, and you get out and the credits roll, you know? And it's a really, that was really made for laughs, you know? This slow
just exit. How slow and drawn out that exit was. I was laughing the whole time. It was beautiful. It was such a great twist.
When you get to that, you know, when you get to this, when you finish the game, a mode unlocks in the menu called Infinite Mode. And when you play it in Infinite Mode, then the camera doesn't follow the you in the future, so it doesn't follow the shabby you coming out. The camera keeps following the younger you, and then you can just play the game over and over and over again. So that's for extra sadism, you know, if you want to really like... There's some achievements there if you like manage a few runs, you know.
Holy cow. But in that case, I'm assuming you're allowed to die at least still on those runs, right?
Yeah. But I'm telling you, maybe we were too easy on the game, you know? Maybe it's not that difficult if we already have some...
Oh, come on, don't even...
How about not basing the game on the most sadist of the sadists, okay? Your game is fine.
No, we're definitely adding a hard mode. That's what we definitely need to do, you know? So people can stay on the normal mode and it's fun, but for people who really want an extra challenge, we're just gonna add more enemies, make it... so that maybe 0.01% of gamers can do it, you know?
And you know somebody will do it.
Of course.
Yeah, it's an extra challenge for some people, you know? And the important thing is that apart from... the narrative is told in the normal mode, you know? And the normal mode is not that difficult. I mean, it's difficult, but you can finish it.
No, I can't.
For the record, I can't imagine you getting all the way to stage 10 and then being like, well, I can't do the rest of this game.
I got to stage 10 on easy, not on normal.
Easy counts. Oh, it counts.
Oh. In that case, you're not going to see the last stage.
Yeah, I know.
But at the same time, like we've had this conversation on this very show before, where in the end, the difficulty is what you want to make of it. You play through it on easy. You're like, this is as far as I'm going to go, but I beat it on easy, and I YouTube the normal ending. That's good. That's what you pulled off. That's fine, you know? Like, it's not like, but I still couldn't imagine you being like, I'm on stage 10, but I'm not going to beat stage 10. I'm just going to stop.
Oh, no, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up until I take that boss down, which is one of the things I love about this game. It is just so replayable and so easy to say, all right, one more life, one more life. No, one more. Fuck you. I'm not giving up. Son of a bitch,
you're going to be so close to giving up on level 10. So, because I know some people who made it all the way to the final boss, and then after 30 minutes of trying to beat the boss, they just lost it, you know. Threw away the joystick and said, like, no. But yeah, maybe they came back like the day after and really made it through. But yeah, if there's a moment where you really want to throw the joystick at the screen, it's probably the final boss. So beware.
Admittedly, if it weren't for the fact that I was coming on to record this episode with Joe, I would be still playing it right now, because I originally started playing it to be like, I don't want to be that guy. It's like, I only got like stage 2 before the recording. So I played more and I started getting into it and passing stage. Like, now I want to see it done. But shit, I got a scheduled appointment. I gotta go. Turn it off. But trust me when I say I'd probably be fighting that final boss right now, just beat my head against the wall, because that's my play style. I'll play a boss over and over for hours until I get it right. And I don't know why, it's just how I am. So
it's great. Did you guys figure out that as you're playing, you're actually, the whole day passes? So in the beginning it's daytime, and then it's dusk, and then you have a few levels in nighttime, and then in the helicopter levels you get dawn, you know. So and then it's daytime again. So it's actually like 24 hours pass as you're playing the game.
I didn't think about it from a time perspective, but I did notice the actual time, the actual like environmental changes. So I didn't. That's a good point. Yeah, because by the time you're on tunnel vision, it's nighttime.
Yeah, and your beard grows, you know. So in the later stages, when you see your character, he has like a beard, and his clothes are like more dirty. Yeah,
he's been through a hell of a day.
I've been guessing that happens on the last level more so, because on most of the levels after stage 1, you're in a different vehicle. So you don't like get the chance to get a good look at his face, because you're looking at it from the top down of the car or behind the bike or the helicopter. So I'm guessing when that last stage comes, I'm back to running around on foot. I'll probably take a notice of that.
No, the last stage is actually falling. So it's like, you know, you remember that stage in Earthworm Jim where you're just falling down and evading stuff? That's the last stage here. So
are you talking about the level where you're fighting the snot guy on the snot? Freaking with the snot, you know, bungee cords on Earthworm Jim.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's my jam. That level's a pain in the ass, but I loved it. Major Mucus, that was his name.
Actually, I was thinking of another game, which I can't remember. There's a game where you're falling down and moving left, right, but in Earthworm Jam, you're actually climbing up and moving. No, you're doing both. Yeah, there's a level when you're climbing up, and there's a level where you're falling down. The falling down is much later in the game with the boss, but okay, whatever. Yeah.
I never beat Earthworm Jim, so I can't help on this one.
Earthworm Jim is a brutal game, so you'd be very much forgiven for that. If and you get past,
we've already covered on this show multiple times that I'm terrible at video games, though.
So. It's all about the journey. It's all about the journey. I'll state that till the cows come home, because to this day, I'll sit there and tell you, I think I'm fairly good at games. I can play a game. I'll have fun with it. But then, as we just discussed, I'll feel proud for beating Speed Limit and then go on YouTube and there's this clown who's like, I did it all in one go. I'm like, well, fuck you, buddy. But I'm still good at the game. Don't take that away from me. You can't take that from me. You know? So there's always someone better. So rather than focus on not being as good as that guy, just be content that your experience was fun. And that's all that matters.
Yeah. Having fun.
And sometimes fun comes from frustration.
So we mentioned some of the achievements. One of my favorite achievements in the game was putting in a legendary cheat code. I'm curious to know, are there any actual cheat codes in the game, or any plans to add any cheat codes?
There aren't any. We did have some when we released the first demo last year. But we removed it. It is a retro thing to have a cheat code and then you have like God mode or something, but we decided against it, you know.
That kind of game.
Maybe we'll add it in some later update, you know. Maybe we'll add a few, you know, interesting cheat codes. There was always like a cheat code for infinite ammo, but in this game you already have infinite ammo, so we'll figure something out.
Big head mode.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think about. Like, I can't picture what cheat code would be effective for this style of game. Like, invincibility would kind of defeat the purpose because, okay, that means now you're just going to drive forward your car and just plow through blockades. Okay. Infinite ammo, like you said, you already have that. I mean, palette swap isn't really a cheat so much as just a modifier. Like, what would be an idea for a cheat code for this game?
Difficult to say. Yeah, that's why we didn't put it in. It's just it makes the game not fun. If it's God mode, you know. If it's something else, we still haven't thought of it. Okay, but we have thought of some cool ideas. Like, imagine if levels 1 and 2 weren't one after the other, but actually if on the top of the trains, you know, you can go back inside, you know, there's like another hole and then you jump back inside and there's a few levels, a few cards where you have to go back to being inside the train and then you climb up again, you know, and this is stuff that we can do, you know. Or in the car levels, imagine if the car levels were also like combined 3 and 4, so it's not just horizontal and then vertical, but you're always going left and right through various turns, and then it becomes top down, and then again it becomes horizontal, vertical, blah, blah, blah. You know, well,
that's,
so
gave me an idea. You could make alternate routes.
Yeah, you could like choose where to go. Do you want to go down? Do you want to go through the loop and so on? Yeah, it's all interesting for the updates, you know. So we just have to. The first thing we have to do, you know, I think this is the most important update, is have a global leaderboard system so people can like see how good they are online with others and so on. So I think this
be
is
careful with that though, because you'll get some jerk who cheats it out and you'll have the best time being -5 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but if people really want to do that, I mean, yeah, you're right. It has to have some kind of anti-cheat ability. Yeah, we'll figure it out. But it could help, you know, because people like seeing how they compare with others, you know.
Mm-hmm. So what is the fastest you've seen someone complete the game?
On easy, it's doable in like 10 minutes.
Jeez.
Yeah. I personally can do normal mode in 15 minutes or so, 14 maybe. No, maybe even less, 13 or something. So that's what I can do.
Wow.
14, something like this, you know. And the Deathless speedrunner, I think he managed in 14 as well, you know. So it's really fast because it's Deathless, but he's taking his time with some levels where he doesn't have to, but okay. It's Deathless, so I'm not going to shit on the way he did it. It's great. What else? Vanya, our programmer, I think he holds the speedrunning record for easy at least, and that's, I think it's like literally it can't physically be better than that, you know, maybe a few milliseconds, but no, actually, yeah, in every level he really like holds the pedal entirely, you know, and finishes it like that, you know, so it can't be faster than that. Maybe he could shave off a few seconds in the jet level, because the jet level is it's not about speed, actually. It's the level is scripted so that the next wave of enemies comes after you finish the last wave. So theoretically, if he could shoot the enemies faster, he could finish the whole level much faster, yeah. But that's scraping off maybe 10 seconds maximum. So it's 10 minutes uneasy.
That well, is still really impressive.
Level, seconds matter. So, oof, for anybody listening who's like, 10 minutes, that's a short game. Like, you won't be beating it in 10 minutes. You can relax on that. You won't be doing that. They did.
But yeah, you'd be amazed about how much of it is not actually reflexes, but just like thinking of a good strategy, you know, because there's, for example, this one achievement, which says that you have to kill 100 of those conga line guys in the first level, you know, so the people who are attacking you from the left, you know, there's like an infinite number of them and they have bombs, they're throwing bombs at you and everything and shooting all the time. So like killing 10 of them is already a challenge and killing 100 seems like impossible, you know.
Yeah, I tried that one a bunch of times and I got nowhere.
Yeah,
but the next time if you did it on like the infinite mode, like you kill 10 per run, get 10 runs in, boom, I killed 100 conga line guys.
Yeah, I guess you could do it like that, but there's actually a really nice way, strategic way of doing it, which I figured out just one week before release, you know. So it's not something that was pre-programmed that way. Do you want me to tell you how?
Sure.
All right, so you climb up on the first box, you know, the metal box in the second cart. And if you're standing on the box, the bomber guys who are throwing bombs, the bombs are just going to go through your legs, you know. And the guys who are shooting, the bullets are also going to go through your legs. And the whole conga line is going to be like a few meters left of you, and they're going to try to kill you. But since you're standing on the box, everybody's just going to completely miss all the time because they're shooting through your legs, you know. And then you can just like off them one by one for like as long as you want. And it's like an interesting way to.
I know what I'm trying after this interview.
Just pew, pew, pew. So out of curiosity, so now that Speed Limit is done, aside from any updates that you guys will likely make towards Speed Limit, is there another concept of a game project you may have in mind that you're looking to work on next?
We have always like a billion ideas. We're actually, as a studio, working already for a few years on a different title. So Jan, who was the level designer for Speed Limit, is also the writer for Trip the Arc Fantastic. And mm-hmm. Trip the Arc Fantastic is like a completely different kind of game, you know. It has no action, no combat. It's a slow narrative experience, philosophical, you know, with cute animals, you know, no blood, you know, about like science and mythology, and everything is an allegory in the animal kingdom, you know. It's like the Animal Farm and stuff like that, if you read Watership Down, you know. So it's completely different, a different genre, a different atmosphere, everything. That's one thing. There's also, I don't know if you've checked out our webpage, we actually do hardware as well. So we're doing GameChuck arcades. So this is like our brand of hardware. So it's like an arcade system, which looks like those 80s old school arcades, but it's super new. It has like multiplayer mode online. It's super slick. So it's not like that boxy, boring design. It's like, you know, it has three coats of paint on it and looks like a $3,000 arcade. Not something you'd be having in your like grandfather's basement. So, and this like some kind of like a cool retro arcade system is probably our next product that's going to come out. And also, and then sometime in the far future, we're going to release Trip the Arc Fantastic, which is the game I mentioned. We're also always releasing some comic books, which is, but not real physical comic books, but actually interactive comic books. And you already have some of them on our Steam page. These are like point-and-click adventures, so that's interesting. Yeah, and
is there
the cool
any
thing
chance of those coming to console at all? I know Cole, our co-host, loves adventure games, and she's on Xbox. I know she would love to see those come to Xbox.
In theory, yes, but we would need to find a publisher who would be interested in porting them. That's possible.
Rattle Lake of Games.
All right. Typing it up.
Rattle Lake of Games, they release a lot of visual novels, a lot of smaller games and indie games. They do a lot of publishing, so possible they might be able to help.
I'm going to contact them right after this meeting, so thanks a lot. That's a good idea. But the games are very interesting on PC, and I'm going to explain why. I don't think this can be translated well to Xbox. You play the game, and for everything you do, panels of a comic book appear. So you're actually like reading a comic, but you're choosing what to do and going through the puzzles and so on. And when you finish the game, every panel that you had, everything you did, gets printed out, you know, on your printer.
Oh.
As a comic book, you know,
or it's really cool.
Or it just gets out like a PDF, you know. So I don't know how we would do this with Xbox. Does Xbox have some kind of like a capability of at least sending a PDF to an email? I don't know.
I don't know.
Thing, yeah. But it is super, super weird, and there's no game like it. Like a game that makes a comic book of your playthrough, and then you can print it out. Yeah, it's it was super weird. We started with this like 4 years ago, like 3.5 years ago. And yeah, we've made a couple of them, and there's a couple more that we're going to release. So you see a lot of different stuff, comics, arcades, retro games, adventure games, a lot of different stuff. But actually, if I understand correctly, the question was what is the speed limit thing going to do next, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we haven't still decided, but there's a lot of stuff that it's a big question, you know, and we're still not super sure. Yeah, but a lot of ideas. What we really have in abundance is ideas, you know. So it's going to be actually hard figuring out which one we want to.
So on the plot, at least you have the ideas. It'd be worse if you're like, we just have no clue what we want to do, so we're just going to stop.
Yeah, it's a blessing. Yeah, usually it's the other way around. People are like, oh, we had one hit, what now? But yeah, we have like, oh man, which one to do first? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
So we're definitely looking forward to seeing whatever you decide to do next, because after Speed Limit, I think Joe can agree that the adrenaline reflexes have been peaked. Now we want more.
Yes, I need more Game Chuck in my life after Speed Limit. How is this game only $10?
It's very short. You could finish it in a few hours, you know, if you're a good coder, if you were a good gamer. So I'm guessing it wouldn't be fair to be more. Maybe it could even be less, you know. It's always a difficult thing, you know, how to figure out pricing. You know, I think $10 is a very okay price for a short but memorable indie experience. You know, I like to compare it with the movies. You know, so how much do you pay when you go to the movies, and how much time and fun you get out of that? It should probably be similar. You know,
that's a good rationale to have, to be honest with you. Is to And especially if it's good for your wallet, too, like, because the alternative is some companies will price a game much higher, expecting the sales to be the enticer. Like, basically, price it high, get the immediate shoppers, like, I'm going to grab it right now, and then the sale people will get it when it goes on sale. But when the price is enticing from the start, they're a little bit more compelled to say, I'm just going to get it now and get it out of the way. And I think a lot of times, at least for me, the movie logic is what I apply it to. Like, if the game is, like, 2 hours or 3 hours in general scope. Like, it's one thing to say a bunch of retries, but just to flat out, this game is 3 hours long. If I'm dropping like $15 on that, back when I was like maybe 15, I'm like, nah, that's crazy. My game needs to be longer than this. But as an adult, I'm like, you know, that seems very reasonable. I can pay $15 for 3 hours of fun. That's what I'm doing for a movie, and I can sometimes replay my 3 hour game to do different stuff and have different experiences. So, honestly, like, but I think the $10 is fair for sure. The game is good. It's very good. But I think the fact that you chose $10 makes it more appealing right out the gate, too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I actually don't know how much the tickets cost for the movies in America. You're from America, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and those prices are jacked.
Well, it depends where you live, too. Like, in a big city, prices are going to be high. And in my tiny little rinky-dink town, I could go see a movie for $5.
He gets $5 movies here. Generally, if you go to a film, it's going to drop you like $13 to $15 before you buy any snacks.
Yeah, and snacks themselves are cheese. Oh, expensive.
Popcorn costs more than the damn movie.
Yeah, you'll spend more on food than movies tickets.
Yeah, I guess they earn the most money out of the popcorn. Yeah, it's popcorn industry. But okay, I think we agree. It's a fair price. It's a fair price for the amount of time you're going to have fun with it, you know? And you know what's most interesting to me? Some platforms like Steam, for example, they have the refund policy, you know? If you finish the game in under 2 or 3 hours or something, you can refund it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And people are not doing this, you know? You would think that if everybody finishes the game in a few hours and they have the option on Steam to just click refund and just get their money back, why wouldn't they do it, you know? But actually, people like the game so much that even though they can click the button, they don't do it, you know? So
that's integrity, really. Like, because back in the day, Yeah, because I wasn't much of a Steam gamer until very, 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 very recently. But prior to that, like back when Electronics Boutique had their 10-day return policy, I was notorious for returning games. But back then, the logic became, hey, if I paid $60 for a game, and with my limited playtime, I can beat it within this window of time, I'm going to return it. Because at the time, I felt that meant I paid too much for it. There were a few games, like I did like Stretch Panic and like Dark Savior, just random games that took maybe like 10 hours or less in the grand scheme of things for $60. But if the game was $20 and I spent that much time on, or $30 and I spent that much time on, I think even back at that age, I wouldn't have been like, let me return it before the return policy's up. I'm like, no, I got my fill. This was good, you know? So sometimes I think it's just people logically assess that it was worth what they paid, regardless if they're within the window or not.
If we're discussing the way to give us more money, I'm just going to plug a very important piece of information right now. Strictly Limited Games is a publisher and distributor of physical copies of the game.
Ooh.
And you can go to their website and buy either buy the game, you know, and get a physical box, or buy the soundtrack, you know, get a physical soundtrack. And whichever one you buy, you also get a very cool booklet with like game design ideas and art texts, sketches, early design drafts and stuff like that. So a very good deal, I'd say. And there's like a limited amount, so it's first sales, first served, I guess. Yeah.
And you said that's on Strictly Limited?
Yes, Strictly Limited Games. That's the name of the... It's a German distributor of physical video games.
Cool, and we will have a link to that in the description, so if people want to check out that site and grab the game or grab the soundtrack, which, by the way, the soundtrack to this game is fantastic.
It's legit. Like I was playing it today, and Joe even mentioned something which was pretty awesome to hear, which I was glad about. But like I was playing it today, and by like stage again, like wasn't so much the tunnel vision level, but there was the level when the highway is going horizontal or going vertically. I was like, yeah, I gotta get this on my show musically. There's some good music in this game. I want to put it on my show. So I'm doing a whole topic based on like fast paced games or something, just to, as an excuse to do it. But like, yeah, like yeah. Joe mentioned something about, you know, the composer possibly wanting to come on, being willing to come on the show too. And if so, that would be freaking legit. If not, I understand. But if so, that'd be legit, because I'm probably going to try to get this on the show at some point.
I think he would be a great. I actually asked him, and he said, "Sure, that's no problem." He has some very interesting stories to tell. I mean, he was a high school teacher, you know, which is like the safest job you can get because it's like a public school, and and then he quit it so he can join an indie game studio and make a soundtrack for Speed Limit full time. You have to be a special kind of character for that, you know.
And, it's about the passion.
Yeah, and it's super interesting because we started off by saying, okay, it's the 80s, everything is super retro, let's make a synthwave soundtrack, you know. And we did. There is some synthwave soundtracks on our webpage from back then, but we figured out that synthwave is too smooth and too you know, relaxing and cool, and it doesn't fit with the fast-paced, hard action shooting style of the game, you know. And then what he did is he actually played through the game and played various different genres in the background, you know, while playing, to figure out what kind of music would be the best for this game. And then he decided to do this electronic kind of music, you know, and got a lot of different hardware, you know, all these super expensive Moog synthesizers and huge like portable Eurorack setups and everything, and all the music, you know, goes through like, I don't know, five different things, you know, guitar pedals, different electronic instruments and so on, and that's how you get this weird electronic cool feel, you know. Yeah, and he spent a lot of time on every piece of soundtrack, and we actually put the soundtrack on for free, so you can actually download it from your computer maybe and listen to it as like a standalone 40-minute soundtrack, and it's also good like that, you know.
Okay.
I grabbed it off Steam. I've been listening to it all day. It is so good. I know later on in the show we're going to be playing a couple of songs to end the show, and then after this interview I'm going to play some elevator music before the rest of the show begins, because I love the elevator music too.
Oh, the pause.
If you listen to the elevator music from the main menu for 10 minutes, you get an achievement. You know?
Yeah, I got that one.
Perfect. Yeah, so the Xbox is going to have an update soon, which is going to have the soundtrack player implemented in the game. So you're going to have an option in the menu. You can just click and then listen to different soundtracks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so if you have your Xbox like connected to some kind of cool stereo surround system, it's going to be a blast, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, okay. So maybe any last questions before we take it out? I don't know.
I think we've covered everything that I wanted to cover. The only other question that I have to ask is, how did you make the 3D look so good for not being 3D?
Oh, well, okay. So it's a good final question, actually. It was super difficult. So Carlo, that's the new programmer we got. He actually went online and found all the different 80s games and how they did it, you know, back in the time when you didn't have actual 3D. And then it's like all about perspective and mathematics and stuff like that. Perspective and mathematics and stuff like that. Perfect. I'm explaining it perfectly.
Stuff like that.
So actually it's coded that actually every object is it's calculated where it should be at a certain point and so on. So and this is one recurring theme with every level. So we're actually doing these levels in a way you would do them in the 80s, you know. So we're not using any 3D tricks and so on. We're the only novelty is that everything is like with some cool shaders, which didn't exist back then, you know. And it looks much nicer because of the a lot of stuff has higher resolution than you could have back then, you know. But the logic of the levels, especially the 3D level, and later on with the jet plane level, which is also kind of 3D, it's all done in a non-3D way, in like a perspective way, which is like coded. Like the plane level, the jet level, has four dimensions for every point. So it has like a distance from the screen, radial distance, and X and Y. So and depth. So Y is depth. Okay, so and that's how it calculates where things should be and so on. So super complicated stuff, but I think all of it looks quite well and feels good. And you would figure it out if it was actually 3D. It wouldn't have that old retro feeling, you know.
Well, you tricked me. It looks really good.
Yeah, it does look, when you see the distance, you know, the skyscrapers in the distance, it does look like an old retro game. It doesn't look like a real 3D thing from the 21st century. That was what we're trying to do, you know. I think we made it, you know. So that's what one of the cool things we're proud of. If somebody from the channel is interested in learning about this in a more detailed way, not like this, not like I'm explaining it, you know, we have a blog on our website, so game-chuck.com/blog, obviously. And we have Carlo explaining all his levels and transitions, because also it's super difficult to make these transitions, you know, because it's not like end of the level, black screen, next level, but everything is super seamless. So you have like 1 second of transition between one level and the other. You remember?
Yeah, it's smooth.
The highway, we hit the ramp.
Yeah. So this is actually also difficult to make. So what I suggest, if somebody's interested in the programming aspect, just go to our blog and both Vanya and Carlo and Mattia for the music, and Jurica, who did the pixel art, and Kolar, who did the game design. All of them have blogs where they're explaining every little detail, you know.
Nice. So we will include a link to your website in the show notes so people can check that out and visit you. Give us all the information. Where can people keep up to date with you on Twitter and Facebook and everything else like that? Give us all of your info.
Definitely. Twitter.com/GameChuckDev. So like dev is development. The same for Facebook. What we use most often is Discord. That's true. That's a true gamer channel, you know. So we're always on Discord. We have a few hundred fans there. And a lot of people are actually there when they can't pass a level, you know, or they have a question, and then they go there and ask us, oh, how do you finish this, and so on. So, yeah, I'd recommend Discord as the best way to talk with us, but also we're super available on Twitter and Facebook and everything.
Awesome. Well, Alex, it has been fantastic having you on the show. Really fun chat. Thank you to Zeno for setting us up and getting you on to chat with us. Pernell, thank you for being here and hanging out as well. We are going to take a quick break, listen to some elevator music. We will be back with more show. Alex, do you have any final words to end the interview?
To take us out, here is Mattia's soundtrack from Speed Limit, which is also elevator music. Thanks.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, 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 beep, 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 boop, beep.
Perfect. No, we have an actual song for now.
Oh.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for sticking around, everyone. Thanks again to Alexander at GameChuck for coming on, chatting with us. Thanks to Pernell for taking time out of his day to join as well. We got more show to go. Cole still isn't here, and you don't want to hear me chat to myself for an hour, so I brought some backup. Tim Ekibis, Jacob Garner, you're both here. How are you doing?
The A-Team, the A-Squad's here. Not the A-Team. That's copyrighted. We didn't say that. Scrub that from the record.
How are you doing, Jacob?
I'm here. You know, obviously I'm no replacement for Cole, but you know.
Who is?
Kind of a replacement. Some variety thereof. Yeah. Oh, right. There was a... Yeah. The With Power Squad.
Yeah.
Still bringing it. At length on Tuesday, and here we are recording 2 days later.
With Power Squad.
With Power Squad. The I live in a part of the country, you know, one of the 49 states that winterizes our equipment so that it can sustain this kind of weather. So, I mean, Cole doesn't live in Texas, right? That doesn't.
No, she's Kentucky.
She's Kentucky. No,
yeah, exactly. So I don't know what the fuck's going on there. It's not Kentucky, though.
So
it's just Kentucky gonna Kentucky.
They had a crazy ice storm there as well, and she said a tree a couple of blocks down fell and took out a power line.
Yeah, I saw the photo of that on Twitter.
I have had the joy of living through three ice storms. yes, three ice storms, and yeah, the power was out for 5 days every time just because it fucking wrecks the trees, and there is nothing they can do to stop that, I guess, unless burying, you know, the cables. But yeah, that's no good. That I've been through that and been without power for
fucking
days in a row, and yeah, ice storms suck.
Subbed to us on Twitch? Fucking Cole is hanging out in chat.
What?
That's weird.
So reception. I guess she has enough reception or internet to hang out in Twitch chat, but I don't know.
You'd think she'd find better things to do with the remaining power.
I mean, seriously, if she's not here, like, why? Why would you come here? Of all the things you could be doing.
She wants to hear us if we're bad-mouthing her.
We are.
Oh, that's fair. Which, unfortunately, no, not really.
I mean, yeah, we could.
I was about to get going, but then I pulled back. We did all that on the Tuesday show. She wasn't there for that, right? So we can, yeah.
Yeah, she said she's holding on with a power inverter and can't use the PC, so.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
you don't have Skype on your phone? She needs Skype on her phone, like Pernell.
Needs? Question mark? Keep Skype in as many, you
she
know,
could utilize keep
in his corner.
Skype on her phone.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I guess the end result of that is that next week is going to be some very review-heavy shows, correct?
Yeah, Tuesday's probably going to be a nice, long review episode. Cole saying she wanted to come show support for everybody but Jacob.
Nice.
Thank you. I feel well-supported.
And, I know, but I'm also seen and mentioned by Cole, so... You might get the support, but, you know, I get the hatred.
Hey, Cole, did the Pernell sound effect go off all right? Because I actually switched it to have noise for the alerts instead of me manually triggering them, because I get lost and get behind and figure now people can just have the enjoyment of the sound effects without me talking about it. So, yay, sound effects.
Yay.
Right, Pernell?
Fucking yeah!
I'll assume that he just said something.
Yeah, he did. Jesus Christ. He said fucking yeah.
I was bringing up like the news articles for the news segment, and like fucking unrelated to video games, Toro recalls about 7,000 snowblowers due to a possible amputation hazard. Nice. Holy fucking shit.
I will avoid Toro.
Is the hazard sticking your arm into it? Because many.
I didn't read. I just read the headline, and I'm just like, holy shit! Like, you know, oh honey, I'm just gonna go out and like, oh god,
it has a knife. Speaking of news, there was a lot of news this week. We should probably get into that, huh?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I don't know. I mean, do we really want to pad out this episode?
I mean, there was a Nintendo Direct, so there's actual important news.
Yeah, oh, there shit, was, right. for the first time in
well over a year.
I guess, you know, it's because there was certainly smaller directs last year. There was like, oh, here's they do their indie directs with some decent amount of regularity. And they did like the Mario Direct. They did one that was like all third party stuff. They did something when they announced Paper Mario, the Origami King. I thought that was a direct, but apparently maybe it was direct mini.
I think they were all just mini directs. This is the first, like, this was a 50 minute long presentation.
Yeah, this was,
this wasn't a 15 minute long B-roll footage, just trailer fest. This had some substance to it and a lot of news. They kicked things off, new character coming to Smash Brothers, and everybody's excited because it's a sword fighter.
Hey, come on now.
Pyra and Mithra from Xenoblade Chronicles 2 are coming in March.
Now are they one character that they switch? Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. So that's the deal, is it's kind of bringing back the Zelda Sheik duality type character. People glance at this and they're like, oh, it's an anime character with a sword. How original. And it's just like, hey, guess what's in a lot of video games, you fucking weebs? Shut up. You brought this onto yourselves, asshats. Come on.
This is why I'm glad you're on this episode, by the way.
Well, it's like, you know, like every direct, really literally everything Nintendo announces, just people are always complaining that it, you know, because people saw this direct and they're complaining. It's like, oh, where's the fucking Metroid Prime 4? Where's Breath of the Wild 2? Where's this? Where's that? They're never happy. Whenever they announce a character for Smash, there's always some people that are happy, and then there's some people that are fucking steamed that it's not the guy from Fortnite or whatever, which sounds terrible, Goku. By the way. Yeah, it's not Goku. And it will never be Goku. Why would it be?
I was going to say, I'm in a Smash Facebook group. I like, personally, I'm not really a fan of Super Smash Brothers, but they have a great meme collection. So that's why I'm in there. Pretty much everyone is actually upset with the character selection, but only because they're just like, oh, good, it's yet another sword person. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much just their complaint.
I'm happy to see Xenoblade get more representation. It's just, it'd have to be another sword fighter.
Mm. I guess, you know, it depends on how she plays in the end, and I think the fact that she switches between two forms could be interesting. I don't know. I was like thinking about this, and I'm just like, how, like, I don't know. I was starting to like, not really. I started for about 5 seconds and then stopped thinking, like, well, how many characters in Smash fight empty handed? Like, oh, how boring. I'm sure there's way more empty handed fighters in Smash than there is sword fighters in Smash. Like, I'm just not sure, like, how people are quantifying things. Lots of characters use swords. I don't know. It's a weird, like, you're like, it's correct. It is accurate. But also, I don't know. It's also weird because it's like, I don't know, just a lot of characters use swords and I don't know.
I don't know either. We'll see how they play in March.
It's fine. It's interesting. You know, I mean, let's see. What's this past been so far? It's been the girl from ARMS. It's been Minecraft Steve, right?
Which that was a pretty cool addition.
That is, I guess, yeah, that, I mean, I, you know, don't care about Minecraft, but I can look at that and be like, oh, that is a significant character addition from a significant game franchise. And then they added Sephiroth, which, oh, it's an anime character with a sword, and no one was complaining then.
Actually, a lot of people did complain.
Well, people, like I said, people will complain about everything, but I feel like it wasn't the sword specific complaint. And now that it's, you know, not as many people played Xenoblade Chronicles 2, I don't think it's a little more less of a significant game. They're like, oh, it's just anime girl with a sword, and I don't know who that is or anything about her. But I played a little bit of Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
I just sold my collector's edition.
Man, I'm hanging on to that. Diamond hands.
Why'd you sell it?
That price is going
money?
Up. Yeah, money. Well, if you need the money, unload it.
We have a roof that needs to be replaced, so.
Oof.
Yeah. Things are going to be getting sold quite a bit. Hey,
I'm paying for
one of those.
I'm paying for a roof still, and will be for some time.
Yep. Yeah.
Mainly because I use the insurance money to pay off a car instead of the roof, but it was a wise decision. Ultimately, at least I'll tell myself that.
Cole is just painting a wonderful picture of her life right now. It's dark, and my water burst about an hour ago, but at least I have internet.
Jesus.
Wait, Christ. So she's having another baby?
Yes.
Holy shit, Cole, get to the hospital immediately.
I wish I could hear her reaction to hearing that, because I'm sure that would be amazing.
I'm waiting for the all caps, fuck you, Jacob, in chat any moment now.
So yeah, that means they're four characters into this battle pass. Hasn't quite been as bombastic as the first one was, but the first one was also fucking insane. So, I don't know, two more characters left. We'll see. I knew this one was going to not be out there. I knew it was going to be like a Nintendo character, just because they'd done, you know, third party characters twice in a row, and I was kind of like, I bet you it's going to be something
in house, yeah. And they didn't really pump this one up that much. It was like, we're going to do a presentation tomorrow, and hey, Smash Brothers is going to be there. And everyone's like,
first thing on the card. Yeah. So
he's not deserving of a proper fuck you. That one was so lame. Not lame is the fact that Fall Guys is hitting the Switch this summer.
Yeah, is it?
I'm excited because it is also hitting Xbox.
Yeah, it's escaping from PlayStation console exclusivity.
Yeah, hopefully they bring crossplay with it. That would be nice. Crossplay, cross progression. That would be really cool.
I don't know about cross progression, but at least crossplay. I think you would have to.
I hope so.
Yeah, enough games have crossplay these days. I feel like that would merit it. And yeah, I don't know how popular Fall Guys has continued to be. Seems like it's still a thing that's going on.
Yeah, the season 3 is going on. It seems to still be fairly popular. It's obviously not the explosion that it was at the beginning, but I think it's going to be, we'll see a nice population boost when it hits Switch and Xbox, and we'll see.
Yeah. Well, it's like when Among Us hit Switch, and I was like, oh, well, I guess that's a little late to the party, but then that's like constantly the top-selling game on the fucking eShop, and I'm like, well, this is why I don't make business decisions for a large company.
Yeah, none of us are qualified for that shit.
Nope. But, we just talk about it and pretend like we know better.
Yeah. Armchair financial advisors. Fuck yeah. Outer Wilds is also hitting the Switch this summer.
Didn't realize it wasn't already there, but
yep.
Some people think that's one of the best games ever made.
Yeah, I hear a lot of praise for Outer Wilds. I haven't played it myself. I'm just not into the survival style.
It's not a survival game.
It's not? I thought it was like first-person survival exploration.
It is exploration, but there is not like it's not survival like getting sticks and wood together. No, it's more of an exploration puzzle mystery game.
It's more adventure sci-fi.
It's like every 20 minutes or something, isn't it?
What's that?
Like, it resets itself every 20 minutes or something like that.
Yeah. No, yeah. It is, you should check it out, Joe, to see if it works for you. There are elements of it that did not work for me, but if that game does work and the pieces fall into place, it is incredible. And I can see why I did go back to it and manage to finish it up, but I was going to say,
I know Joe has it because we got it for free, for watching that Xbox, stream years ago.
It was on Game Pass for a while. I don't know if it's still there.
I am looking in my download history for it, but I don't see it.
Well, you should check it out.
You got it as a free pre-order.
Yeah, it's not there. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I thought I heard someone on Reddit a couple of months ago having issues with their entitlement for the game that it disappeared, so I don't know.
A lot of people on Reddit with issues with their entitlement, my God.
It's in Game Pass, though, so I could play it there. Praise Game Pass during Nintendo Direct.
Praise Game Pass.
Two Famicom Detective Club titles are hitting North America for the first time, with The Missing Heir and The Girl Who Stands Behind coming May 14th, with pre-orders open now.
That, I think, is pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that caught my wife's eye.
It's nice to see a franchise coming to America for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this will open the door for more.
Yeah, and on top of it, I mean, I'm always game for, like, old retro games, like, finally showing up over here in North America. Mm-hmm. Like, I really wish that Capcom would, you know, secure the rights to Sweet Home, just so we can finally see, like, what inspired the Resident Evil series.
No. There's always emulation for that one.
Official
releases are cool, as we'll talk about later in this episode. But yeah, and it's like how they brought over that first Fire Emblem, a couple months ago. It's just cool to see the stuff available in America.
Love it. Love to see it. Also announced, Samurai Warriors 5 is coming to the Switch this summer. It was also confirmed for Xbox, PlayStation, and Steam as well. So Samurai Warriors 5 is hitting everything this summer.
Sure.
Yep.
That is not my bag.
Although I think it's Xbox One, but then playable obviously on Xbox Series X.
Yeah, backward compatible.
So I don't know. That I think is kind of like, but at the same time, I'm just thrilled to get another entry in the series.
Why do you think it's still an Xbox One game instead of a series game?
Well, because if I was playing it on Xbox Series X, I'd rather have it like beefed up for that console than playing an Xbox One game.
Itch bitch.
Well, I mean, my point's valid though, right?
True. But the game wasn't in development for the Series X, so.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's not like there's a PS5 version of the game, so.
Maybe there should be.
There should
be. All I have to do is play on the systems. That's all I care about, really.
Yeah, I mean.
Tim has it.
Yeah.
Hey, just be happy because Xbox is not getting Legend of Mana, which is hitting the Switch, PS4, and Steam on June 24th.
Hell yeah, man. These obscure, well, I mean, I guess, let's say B-tier Square PS1 titles getting remasters. I mean, they're not the Final Fantasies. You know, I'm not doing that as like an insult, but I am happy to see this. And I'm happy to see Saga Frontier, both of them getting work done on them and to help modernize them. Like Legend of Mana, they have a toggle for enemy encounters, which is cool to turn those off. That's always a fun thing.
I love accessibility options like that. I know Cole would be excited about that too.
Yeah, both as a original soundtrack and a range soundtrack. I mean, this seems like Legend of Mana has kind of been somewhere on my list of old, you know, RPGs to play, and what. But I've bought Legend of Mana on PSN, so I could play it on my Vita. But you know, having it on the Switch in a remastered version
with prettier graphics,
and on, you know. My Vita does have a dead pixel kind of in the screen, which sucks, but you know, if it's on the Switch, that's a great place for it. So
I need to dust off my Vita and start putting it to use more.
Yeah, I dusted it off and, you know, made sure that it booted up, and I dicked around with something on there somewhat recently. Played Ridge Racer 4 on there within the last year. Ridge Racer 4 is so fucking good. Ridge Racer. Yeah, so it'll be cool to check out Legend of Mana.
Indeed.
And yeah, they side mentioned that, oh yeah, Saga Frontier, that's coming with the cut content being re-added to it.
I think they mentioned that one later on in the show, but the next thing was Monster Hunter Rise, which is coming out on the 26th this month. They announced that there will be a Monster Hunter Rise specialized system and pro controller releasing as well.
Yeah. If you don't have a Switch or... Yeah, I don't know.
Or if you need a new pro controller, there you go.
Maybe someday I'll get into a Monster Hunter game.
I just want the new amiibo.
Yes.
Yeah, they have three amiibo for Monster Hunter coming out.
Oh, cool.
Same day as the three new Smash Brother amiibo. So it's like,
oh, no shit.
That day is amiibo day.
Yeah, I kind of like randomly pre-order amiibo and then don't think about it until suddenly I'm getting shipping notification and it's like, oh, here they come.
I gotta get my pre-orders in. I hope I'm not too late on pre-orders. But
is it Banjo that's coming pretty soon? Like Banjo, Terry, and
Byleth.
Yeah, so Banjo and Terry are coming. I'll probably buy fucking Byleth at some point when he's on sale. But
buy him on the clearance rack.
Yeah, I love getting the third party amiibo. It's just so fucking cool.
Do you have the Dark Souls one?
Do yes, he is around somewhere. I think he's in my vicinity.
That one has increased in value.
Oh, there he is. Yep, there's Solaire. Yep, he was within arm's reach.
Nice. Next game they announced, I'm really excited about this one. Mario Golf Super Rush is coming to the Switch.
This had to catch some people's attentions, right?
Yeah, it looks crazy. They're going to have button and motion controls, story mode as a Mii character, and then what everyone is talking about, speed golf, which has everybody golfing at the same time and racing through the course with Mario power-ups and pickups. It looks ridiculous. And it's like,
was Mario Kart?
Yeah. And it looks fucking awesome. And that comes out June 25th, so it's not that far away.
Yeah. Also, yeah, point of order, when Nintendo does these directs, often, like, they will mention some things that are a bit far off in the future, but by and large, the things they're announcing and covering are stuff that's coming out within the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, I think No More Heroes 3, which we'll probably talk about in a second, had the latest actual release date of anything on there, which is the end of August.
No, the Project Triangle or whatever it was, the square thing is coming out in 2020.
That was next year. Mm. That's what I mean. That's the line I'm drawing. Like
with an actual set release date.
Yeah, with an actual set release date. Yeah.
No.
There's some things that are a little further off, but for the most part, closer.
Not that far off is Tales of the Borderlands, which is hitting the Switch March 24th.
Sure.
And that's back on all storefronts now. So Tales from the Borderlands, if you missed out on that the first time, it's back. All of the episodes in one package. So give that a go.
I own that on two platforms.
I think I have it on three.
So my loose Solaire amiibo is worth at least $50. It's pretty good.
Yeah, for a loose amiibo.
Yeah, sealed. I mean,
that sounds dirty.
Goes upwards of like 100. That's crazy.
Dude, you should see how much the Box Boy amiibo goes for.
Box Boy?
Yeah, Japanese only.
Oh.
Well, if Ryan Niemiller were on the show, he'd be geeking out about amiibo too right now.
Box Boy.
Jacob, you'll have to tag him.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's a $200 amiibo. Holy shit. That thing, and that's loose. Oh wait, no, there's one in the box. Yeah, $240. Good gravy.
Whew. Yeah.
Yeah, $200. Solid $200 for that guy. God damn.
Yeah, amiibo are crazy, but
some of them are, yeah.
Capcom Arcade Stadium just released that day on the Switch, which is awesome.
The big mistake for Capcom is they put the best game out as the free one.
1943 is the freebie.
Fuck yeah, 100%. I downloaded that. I'm going to play 1943. I don't know if I'll buy any other games. 1943 is the fucking shit.
Well, they have Ghosts and Goblins for $1.99.
Okay.
So that's not bad. And then they have three packs of games for $14.99 each, where you can get everything for $39.99.
Yeah. You'll probably just play 19. I mean, I have those Capcom Classics collections for PS2 still banging around. Ooh, that one pack has Gigawing on it. That's nothing to sneeze at.
That's one of those things I would just fucking wait for a sale. Like, yeah.
No, I'm personally waiting because they said it is coming later on to PlayStation, Xbox, and Steam. So everyone else will be able to have a chance of buying that, and maybe they'll offer it at a discount when it hits those platforms. Who knows?
Yeah. Gigawing, I don't think has really seen much release in other places. Like, some of those games were recently released on that Beat 'em Up collection they did. There's some stuff that has been on other collections, a few other obscure things, but Gigawing kind of jumps out. That game, I think, was only released in North America on Dreamcast and is not cheap. I think a North American version of that game for Dreamcast will run you like $200.
Damn.
Yeah, that's why I got a Japanese copy.
So it's either get Gigawing or a Box Boy amiibo. Flip a coin.
Ooh. I think I might go for the amiibo, but that's because I already have Gigawing. And it's also in this pack for only $15.
Yeah, there you go.
Box Boy is not.
Also hitting the Switch, March 16th is going to be Stubbs the Zombie, which we talked about last week on the show, I believe. When it hit the achievements, hit true achievements, they confirmed it will be hitting Xbox, Switch, PlayStation, and Steam March 16th. So if you missed out on Stubbs the Zombie back on the original Xbox, now's your time to play it.
So is this like a okay, so is Stubbs currently available like the Xbox original version it's not. Okay. It's not in backwards compatibility at all? Okay. So this is just the game. I don't think it doesn't look like it'd been remastered in any way.
No, they said that they gave a more modern control scheme, but it's, quote, the same game that you know and love.
It probably needed that, if I recall correctly. Like, it was a, I mean, it's a weird game. It's a fucking weird game.
Yeah, I'm guessing that they upped the resolution, so things will be crisper and cleaner, so it won't look like it's 480p, but I'm not expecting any kind of bells and whistles to this thing. It'll have achievements, yay!
It's just nice to have it available, because it was a unique original Xbox game that hasn't really been out on anything else.
I don't know. Hitting Switch August 27th. You talked about this one earlier. No More Heroes 3 is on the way.
Oh my god.
Hell yeah.
And it looks,
it's fucking real now.
Fucking ridiculous.
It has a release. Like, I've been in denial of this game's existence. It's like they announced it. They did like another trailer last year, and I'm just kind of like, okay. But now, like, there was gameplay. There is a release date. It's fucking real. It's happening. I'm excited.
And this is one of the reasons I got to be mowing lawns.
Yeah, fuck yeah, mowing lawns.
I'm excited to see the Odd Jobs back.
Yeah, I know the 8-bit style minigames at least turned off my friend Weiss. He didn't like those as much. I didn't like them as much either. They didn't have as much dumb personality as the original minigames from 1. You're like pumping gas and mowing lawns and picking up garbage and shit. So yeah, I'm excited. I hope the story is good. Fuck yeah.
Some of the boss battles looked insane. Like, one was a JRPG battle.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I was already, like, being like, okay, I need to start wiping this stuff from my mind so I don't remember it.
And it looks like Men in Black to hit you with their little...
It did look like they added some of the mechanics from Travis Strikes Back into it. I could see, like, the special ability cross thing on the left of the screen, and I'm like, oh, they probably brought that in from that game by the looks of it.
I have not played that game. I own it on Switch and on PlayStation, but I have not played it.
I have to finish it. I'm like, I think I'm pretty much at like the fucking end, but then I like picked it up to finish it up and I had no idea what I was doing, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I didn't finish this game. I'm pretty sure I don't remember doing that. So I gotta like examine it and actually finish it just to fill in that little piece of the story for myself before the end of August.
Yeah, right around the corner.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, later on in the year,
which is like a year in 2020's time.
Yeah,
multiple years.
2020 was the longest decade ever.
Yeah, think about how 6 months ago there, let's see, 6 months ago it was September. So they probably hadn't had the first presidential debate yet. Trump hadn't had COVID. He hadn't been de-elected. There wasn't an insurrection. And Texas still had power.
That was a lifetime ago.
It, God, fucking was. Boy.
A lifetime from now, winter 2021, Neon White was announced.
That was so weird. I'm like, it's almost not winter. Is it coming out in the next month? What are you talking about?
Yeah, this is a first-person shooter with cards that looked really, really weird.
Just occurred to me, they mean like December, don't they?
Yeah.
Is that what they mean? Or they,
yes.
I mean, it's not absurd of me to see winter 2021 and think like, oh, there is a month. Like, there is more left of this section of winter 2021 than the coming winter 2021, the one at the end of the year, which is like 2 weeks of winter. I don't know. That really, I was like, that confused me.
I don't know. I consider winter the end of the year.
I mean, I walk outside right now and it is fucking winter. It is now.
Yeah, you are right.
Winter is here. Maybe they should have said fall. I don't know.
Maybe.
Or they should have just said 2022. Seems like we're shooting for Christmas.
We don't know. What we do know is June 4th, DC Superhero Girls Teen Power was announced. That takes place at Metropolis High School. Jacob, you sound excited about this one. So what did you think of it?
I actually have no idea.
It
was kind of a sarcastic idea.
My child was pretty excited about this game because he's watched the cartoon and read some books featuring the DC superhero girls.
It's based. Is it based on the new show or the older one?
I don't know that much.
I would imagine the new show.
Because my kids like the movies that were based on the old show. Like, we have all of them. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't even hear about an announcement about this thing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be on any other platforms. They just talked about it for the Switch. June 4th. So, Jacob, you'll have to look that up, do some research, and talk about it next time.
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that's one of those things when you have kids and they're inevitably going to be interested in things that you are not interested in yourself. So,
yep.
I saw the video for that and my back started hurting. So, shows how old I am. Plants vs. Zombies Battle for Neighborville Complete Edition will be hitting the Switch on March 19th. They're calling it Complete Edition because you can earn everything offline without microtransactions.
Nice.
And I hope they bring that to other platforms, too.
Yeah, my wife has been playing the original Plants vs. Zombies recently, and so he recognized it and was like, oh, we should get that, too.
I like Battle for Neighborville.
I haven't played any Plants vs. Zombies since the first one on, like, my fucking phone, so...
Well,
that was over a decade ago.
The Garden Warfare games are significantly different from what you played on the phone.
Yeah. What's Battle for Neighborville? Is that the same type of thing?
Yeah, it's basically Garden Warfare 3.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But they called it Battle for Neighborville instead of Garden Warfare 3 because of reasons.
Hmm.
I don't know what those reasons are, but I'm sure they have reason.
Yeah. Maybe they wanted to decouple it. They didn't want a 3 on it. It was discouraging people from engaging in Plants vs. Zombies.
Maybe. They didn't want to take Half-Life's thunder.
Yeah.
Miitopia.
No, no games can be three.
Yeah, no more threes ever again. Miitopia was announced for the Switch, where you're going to be able to have an RPG with all your Miis.
Yeah, it's like Street Pass games, except a full fucking game. Yeah. Right?
And, dude, like, is there even a way to share Miis on the Switch?
I don't think so.
Like, at least on the Wii, we could send messages and include each other's Wii and have a, or the Miis and have a Mii parade and take some Miis off the street and have your own collection. Like, I don't have any Miis on my Switch.
Just me.
Yeah. It's, my RPG is going to suck, but I'm excited. It looks interesting, though.
Yeah, no, the lady wife like the look of it. I mean, sometimes you just need a simple-ish looking RPG. You know, it might be like a fucking Mystic Quest sort of situation, you know, a little bit more of a beginner RPG type Maybe. Game. Not hey, everything
introductory
is for
RPGs are always good. Get more people into the genre.
Yeah. Hey, you know, people dunk on fucking Nintendo games in general, and specifically their, like, training wheels modes, but that is how my kid can play video games by himself, so
yeah.
Eat and my I ass. I can get put in front of Mario Kart and have peace and quiet.
Mario items are going to be coming to Animal Crossing in March.
A lot of them, too, by the look of it.
Yeah. Like,
that fucking island was the Mushroom Kingdom.
Coins and blocks and friggin' costumes, working warp pipes.
Working warp pipes is really interesting for, yeah,
quick thrumps, travel, baby.
Flags. That's a lot of stuff. I'm, so Animal Crossing is coming up on its 1 year anniversary. Came out in March last year. I'm curious if we're going to continue to see them add new items and shit to the game, or whether it's like, okay, just go with the event cycle now and that's it.
Maybe. You think this 1 year anniversary with all the Mario items is like their last hurrah for the game?
It could be, but
or
it might
just
not
put
be.
It on auto.
I don't know. Cause this is just, it's not an event. It's just adding items. So I could definitely see them adding more items. I don't know if you're going to see more seasonal events. I hope they keep adding stuff, because this is the first Animal Crossing game. I'm like, I still play this game. I played it this fucking week.
I'm scared to go back to my town. I don't want to know how many weeds are there. I'm going to get chewed out by everybody. You haven't been here in 10 months. What have you been doing? I've been playing other shit, Nintendo. Like,
yeah. It's just been on, because, you know, my kid plays and my wife plays, so, like, usually there's always somebody diddling around with it, and then, you know, I didn't play it a ton in the fall, but I've had the itch a little bit more lately. Been doing some more stuff with my island, and building Snowboys has been fun, so it's, yeah, I just keep playing this game, just pop it into it every now and then, more than I played any other Animal Crossing.
Nice. So, I hope they keep adding stuff to it.
Yeah.
Project Triangle Strategy was revealed from the Octopath team, which will be coming out in 2022. Seems far away, but they have a demo available that you could check out now.
I have played the demo.
And what are your thoughts?
I think, so I am super, it's like this, like the trailer started and I started to parse together like what it was and that it was a tactics game. And I'm just like trying not to get my hopes up too high, because my God, do I want like a fucking new Final Fantasy Tactics type game to just suck me in. So the demo, it seems to be like across like a few chapters in the middle of the game. I only played one chapter. It took me like an hour, which had one battle in it. Their art, go figure, is fantastic. Their art looks great. The art was great in Octopath. The art in this also looks great. It seems to be setting up a story of intrigue between three warring factions. There is decisions to make along the way that will affect how things play out in the game, which leans it a bit more into Tactics Ogre territory, which is good, by the way. The party of characters, they give you, you know, a bunch of different skills. There's like healer, you know, buffer, assassin, bow lady on a bird, dude on a horse, you know, different characters with different abilities. So it, like, I'm just not sure about, it seemed like, so my characters were leveling up and they were just learning skills as they leveled up. So it seems like they might not have the kind of extensive, like job system tech tree that Final Fantasy Tactics had, which would be a bummer. 'Cause boy, do I want something like that. But I'm not sure. That just kind of seemed that way. Maybe there's that on the back end, but I definitely, you know, I want to cross class. I would love to be able to, you know, equip passive and reflexive and movement abilities to my characters. 'Cause being able to customize like weird and super overpowered characters of Final Fantasy Tactics is part of what makes that game work, or part of what puts it on the next level, I guess I should say. But you know, it seems good. Seems like the pieces are in place. Like when I saw them being like, oh, the height, your elevation on the battlefield will make a difference. And it does, you know, put archers up higher. There's some abilities where it's like, oh, if you're using this ability from a higher elevation, like you're pouncing on an enemy, it will do more damage. That's cool stuff to like, just to get you considering about positioning. Like the game doesn't have to be Final Fantasy Tactics again to be good. So I am optimistic at this point.
And it's from the Octopath team, so
yeah,
it's not going to be bad.
Yeah. I mean, like that game, you know, it wasn't phenomenal, I guess I'll say.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was pretty solid. Like, I think the story could have been better, just in the fact that like you pick up these characters and their stories kind of run in parallel and don't really intertwine. Like, I thought the battle system was great. The art was great. And then, like, the stories, you know, when you're doing this character story and they're in the lead and they're doing their story thing and, like, but they don't, you know, they didn't really come together as much. But, you know, I still thought it was a pretty solid RPG. Looked really good, had good systems in it. It was most of the way there, so.
You want to know what game is going to have people coming together?
What game is going to have people coming together, Joe Cam?
Star Wars Hunters, which was announced for 2021, which is a competitive free-to-play shooter. Jacob, what did you think of that?
I don't know. I mean, it's just like, I thought it looked interesting. It was only announced for the Switch, though, right?
I don't know if it's coming to anything else. I'm not sure.
Because I don't recall it being announced for anything else, and I was just kind of like, "Oh, that's an odd choice." I don't know. I mean, it's okay. I don't know if they're like they're trying to get in on like that Fortnite action or whatever. but I'm at the point in my life where I just don't care about online multiplayer for stuff, and so it was just kind of like, "All right, let the kids have their thing."
Raider Biz is saying it is mobile and Switch.
Wait a second. Yeah, it is. Hold on.
It is actually a trap. It's a Zynga game.
I was just like, oh, wait a second. Who the hell made that thing? Because I remember that was part of the announcement too, and I was just like, oh, that doesn't sound good. So the people who made Farmville are making a Star Wars shooter. Okay.
Hey, you never know.
You know, if it does well, more power to them.
Hey, it's free, so.
If it doesn't, then immediately you should have known Farmville makers making a shooter.
Yeah.
should have been the warning sign.
You know, I'm sure they've done some stuff since just Farmville.
No, Tim, they have not done anything since Farmville. Okay, literally then, nothing.
All right. I believe you.
They sat on their butts. I don't know. I'm actually going to look
that
up right now.
We've seen crazier shooters, and a crazier shooter was announced next with Knockout City, which is a third-person dodgeball shooter team-based coming out May 21st.
It's like, what if Destruction All-Stars was dodgeball instead of a Destruction Derby?
I'm worried. Like, I saw it and I got Rocket Arena vibes right away. And the fact that it's from EA gives me even more Rocket Arena vibes.
That whole, like, interview setup thing was pretty corny. Interviewing the characters.
Yeah.
Going back to Rocket Arena, I would just like to say I think it's very telling. Xbox has a EA sale right now. both Anthem and Rocket Arena are nowhere to be found.
I think they're both bargain basement price to begin with, aren't they?
Yeah,
I thought Rocket Arena was dropped down to $10 permanent.
And I think Anthem is pretty much that too. Also, Tim, you are correct. They have made other games since Farmville. They made Confirmed. Game of Thrones slots.
Oh. Oh, that was them. Oh.
Oh, it was so good.
Their take on season 8 was fantastic. Your friend
is the maker of Game of Thrones slots is making a shooter, and man, you have my attention. Holy shit.
Yeah, I don't know about Knockout City though. It looks interesting. Yeah. Is this going to be a full price game? Are they going to release it into the EA Access Vault right away? Is it going to be free to play? Like, what the fuck are they doing with it?
Need people to play it. It's got to be low barrier to entry. If it's a multiplayer focused game,
yeah. If that comes out at $40 like Rocket Arena did, like, it's dead in the water.
Yeah. Well, we are not business executives, so nope. What do we know?
Yeah, what do we know? World's End Club was announced for May 28th. Anyone have any thoughts on World's End Club? Because I don't.
No, I haven't played. Looked like some Danganronpa shit, and I haven't played those games.
Yeah. I'm sure Purnell will love it.
Yeah.
Hades is getting a physical release on March 19th. It comes with a download code for the soundtrack and a 32-page character compendium. So, yay for Hades.
Yeah, if you somehow don't have Hades already, or you just want that physical copy, which maybe I do.
Did you already pre-order it?
No, I did not. There's only one thing on this this direct that I pre-ordered already. We haven't gotten to it yet, so I'll leave you in suspense.
Ooh. Is it Ninja Gaiden, the Master Collection?
It sure as fuck is not.
Well, the Ninja Gaiden Master Collection was announced for the Switch. It was also confirmed for Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. It is coming out June 10th, and it will be Ninja Gaiden Sigma, Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, and 3 Razor's Edge. So, 3 games for probably $60 or so, maybe 40.
Yeah, I was not as big on the original Ninja Gaiden as many people were. I mean, that was like the fucking game in early 2000s. You know, it was an Xbox exclusive. Like, it was the 3D action game. People loved that game. The sequels are also video games. I did play the second one, and it is not good. That first one's probably is kind of a classic.
Two seem to be generally regarded as pretty good, but the third one wasn't.
Yeah, the second one's just kind of generic.
I don't know. I just, like, that first... I remember how fucking difficult that first game was, and it's just... What always drove me up the wall is that I was good enough to just repeatedly die over and over again, but I wasn't bad enough to trigger the ninja dog difficulty, or like lack of difficulty, and so the game just constantly kicked my ass, and I never beat it. I don't even think I got like a third of the way through.
I did beat it.
Really?
I beat the second one. I'm pretty sure I beat the first one as well at some point.
Well, if you don't want to wait until June 10th, Ninja Gaiden Black, Ninja Gaiden 2, and Ninja Gaiden 3 Razor's Edge are all playable on Xbox through backward compatibility.
Yeah.
Or wait until June 10th and get a collection of all of them.
Sure.
Hyrule Warriors had some new DLC announced with Age of Calamity, or Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity had new DLC announced with their season pass. It went too fast for me to catch what was in it. Did you catch what was in it, or should we just move on?
I have not played Age of Calamity. There was 2 waves of DLC, more stages, more characters, more weapons, more enemies,
more
new skills for the characters. Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested in playing this game. I've heard good thing. I don't play a lot of Musou games, but this one, I don't know. I've heard good things about. Like, the story seems cool. Might check it out at some point. But there's another Musou game coming out later this month that I'm more interested in. So.
Which
one? Anytime soon. Oh, that would be Persona. Persona the Phantom Strikers.
Mm.
Yeah.
You and Purnell are both excited for that one.
I don't know if I'd say I'm excited, but I'm interested. It's coming into my house. People love Persona in this house. I want the soundtrack around, even if it's on the game card. But, you know, I mean, Mega 10 is actually one of those series where I buy fucking everything, pretty much. Like, the only things I don't have, there's like a couple of the 3DS DS games that I don't have. Like, I didn't buy the upgraded version of Mega 10 4 because I had the original, and I didn't buy the upgraded version of Strange Journey.
Well, you better hurry up.
Why?
I don't know. Prices
those games
go
are
up.
Expensive. They are very expensive already, and I'm content with my current situation on them. But most Mega 10 games, I buy them, and I buy the fanciest edition possible. And so, yeah, of course, I got this one.
Yeah. Well, they announced a couple of quick release dates. Bravely Default 2 coming out February 26th. Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection coming out.
I think we
already
knew that one.
Yeah, coming out the 25th. Saga Frontier Remastered coming out April 15th. And Apex Legends coming out March 9th.
Yeah.
So, there's some release dates for you. And then some Zelda news. They said that there will be no Breath of the Wild sequel information, but they might have something to share later on this year. But for now, they announced a new Zelda game. Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword HD was announced for the Switch for July 16th.
Mm-hmm.
I love when Nintendo do that shit. Here's a new game. It's coming out in 4 months.
Yeah. They do that quite a bit. They do that quite a bit. I don't know. I feel like Skyward Sword, people ended up not liking it as much in the end. But I liked it quite a bit. I thought it was really fun.
I think a lot of people didn't enjoy it because of the motion controls.
Well, I think like one of the things is that you end up, there's like three areas on the surface, and you kind of end up having to go back to them with like different conditions going on. But you're essentially still revisiting the same areas, so it's like a little bit samey. I think that's what people had the most beef with, but I felt like the puzzles were good, like the enemies are good, like the art is good. I liked the sword play, played with a Wii Remote Plus at the time, now playable with either your right stick or with you can just decouple them to, you can play with them loose in your hands, the grips. Yeah, Joy-Cons.
And if you want special Joy-Cons, they're releasing special Skyward Sword Joy-Con.
And you know what, Joe? I do want them.
Did you pre-order them?
Those are the things I pre-ordered. Dude, they fucking sold out so goddamn fast. When I saw that they'd been up at GameStop, they were already sold out. So I jumped on them on Best Buy as fast as I could. people are grabbing those things up to fucking scalp them. And I hate that they look so goddamn cool. And that I wanted them immediately. But here we are. Here we are. And so now I pre-ordered a set of fucking Joy-Cons. Even though I have enough Joy-Cons in my house.
I only have the two that are on the system. So if I could actually find a pair of these when they're out, I'll probably pick them up.
Yeah, I did. I got a set of Joy-Cons like a couple years ago because they were mistakenly on clearance at Walmart for like 30 or I think it was like $25 for the set.
Damn.
But these are just look goddamn cool. So here I am. Fucking dumbass Nintendo fan playing into their shit. You got me, you dicks. I guess I'll get the game as well. Why not?
Yeah, come you on, might man. As well.
Might as well.
I'm sure it'll be full price. So.
Yeah, absolutely. then they'll get you ding you for Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD later in the year.
And I'll fucking get them both.
I'll buy those again as well, even though I have them both for
damn
the Wii U.
It. Nintendo, you bunch of bitches.
Those are the last two. Once those two are out, then the Wii U can, then I will have zero Wii U games that are, except for Nintendo World, that are Wii U exclusive. Everything will have escaped from its clutches, except for me, because I transferred all my Wii shit to it, so I will be with the Wii U forever. You know, it sounds like a dumbass idea.
Same.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I have put, one, I had a Wii that broke, and I had to get it repaired. Two, I did not put many hours on that Wii U. I've put almost as many hours into Animal Crossing New Horizons as I did into my Wii U in total, because it was under 200 hours I put into my Wii U. Yeah, so, I mean, whatever. It's a nicer system to play Wii games on, and there's some, you know, whatever. But, yeah, that can fully pass into being a footnote in Nintendo history at that point.
Yeah.
You know, Mario 3D World is out. That game is fucking great. And, yeah, get those Zelda HDs, and then it's over. It's over. All that remains is Funky Barn. Good night,
sweet prince.
Yeah.
Anyway, final game that they announced on the Nintendo Direct was Splatoon 3 is coming in 2022.
We stopped doing new things for Splatoon 2 because we're making Splatoon 3.
I mean, that's kind of how things go. But.
Yeah, that is exactly how things go. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Splatoon is cool, and I know people love Splatoon. Some people love Splatoon, so... That is a cool and big announcement, even if it's not like up my specific alley.
And the music in the trailer was great.
Of course it was.
It was so good. But yeah, that was the Nintendo Direct.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff pretty announced. Solid. Really solid Direct. I'm excited for Nintendo's future. I think they're an upstart company that has a bright future, and we should keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they really just... Nobody really pays attention to them. Hopefully they get some notice with this announcement.
Yeah, we'll see. There was more news for the week, though. We should probably dive into the rest of the news.
Yes, we should.
Yeah. Deathloop will be launching on PS5 and PC on May 21st. It will be a $60 game, not a $70 game. And it will be console exclusive for 1 year.
Yeah, you love console exclusives, don't you, Joe?
Well, this is the funny one, because it's going to be a Microsoft exclusive on PlayStation.
Yep.
Well, that's a funny contracts. One.
Yeah, it is.
Hooray. A lot of Game Pass news. A bunch of games joined Game Pass February 18th. PC got Code Vein. Console and cloud got Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire.
It's a good game. I recommended it last year when I reviewed it for the SML podcast.
Ooh, they sound interesting. And then Wreckfest hit everything. I'm excited about that one. Wreckfest, I thought, was really cool, and hopefully this bumps up the player base.
Yeah.
Not a Wreckfest fan? Like
I haven't played it, I guess, so I could check it out. So it's like usually every month when there's a Game Pass announcement, there's always like one thing where I'm like, oh, cool, it's that game that I've been meaning to play. And this month didn't have that, which is fine, because then I can fucking catch up on the last three or four months of that I haven't gotten to do. So... Like Code Vein is one of those, which that came out on console like 2 months ago on the Game Pass, and I haven't gotten to fire it up yet. So
now you can do it on PC instead if you want.
I don't.
Okay.
But
February 23rd, console and cloud is getting Killer Queen Black.
Yeah.
And then
that's a cool ass game.
Is it?
Well, I don't know if Black is, I guess. I know the arcade version that I played at MAGFest like 4 years ago is a lot of fun. I don't know how it translates to the console version.
We will be covering the console version soon on the show, and we might have an interview coming up as well. So,
oh, cool.
Keep your eyes peeled, and we'll have something there.
I have the Switch version because I got it on sale at some point. It's been on the Switch for a little while now.
Yeah. Well, it's finally coming to Xbox next week. Finally.
Finally.
Been a while.
Been a while.
And then February 25th, Super Hot Mind Control Delete is hitting PC.
Super.
Hot.
Super.
Hot.
Cannot do it.
Elite Dangerous is hitting console. And then I'm excited about this one. What? Dirt 5 is hitting Game Pass.
Didn't that just come out?
Yeah. Just in, I think, November it came out? Something like that?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, Dirt 5 already hitting Game Pass February 25th, so give that one a go. That was one of my favorite games of last year, and they have new content coming out next week as well. The new events are going to be hitting the game. Good shit.
Never been a better time to jump into Dirt.
Exactly.
Jump into Dirt.
But that means games are leaving Game Pass as well, so let's get to those. Dirt 4 is leaving on the 24th.
Bye, you old piece of shit.
Peace, bitch, deuces. And then on March 1st, we're losing Momodora, Reverie Under the Moonlight, Oxenfree, Jackbox Party Pack 4, Vambrace Cold Steel, and Mother Russia Bleeds on PC.
Oh, that's a fun game.
Yeah.
Also reviewed for the SML podcast a couple years ago, and I recommended it. So check it out now while you can.
Yeah, on Game Pass for PC while it's there.
Got a week. Two-ish. Yeah.
Overcooked, All You Can Eat is hitting Xbox One, PS4, and Switch on March 23rd. Features all 200-plus levels from both the first games, including all DLC, new levels, new assist mode, and running at 60 frames per second, except on the bitch-ass Switch that only gets 30 frames per second.
That's all you need.
And the Swedish Chef will be free DLC.
Bork, bork.
For a limited time.
Mm.
Yep. Marvel's Avengers.
That is fantastic.
The Avengers.
The Avengers are finally hitting PS5 and the Xbox Series X and S on March 18th, my birthday.
Happy birthday. It's just what you wanted.
Yeah, alongside Operation Hawkeye, which I guess that's my present.
Dude, so like the first character they added was Kate Bishop Hawkeye, and the second character they're adding is Clint Barton Hawkeye?
What the fuck? Seriously?
I think that's a weird
why?
Decision. I like that game. I should fire it up and check out Kate Bishop.
And Spider-Man still isn't in the game for PlayStation.
I don't know. This game is on a disastrous trajectory.
Yeah.
Currently, it's 50% off on for I think all consoles.
Dude, that campaign is worth right it. Now. It's the campaign is a lot of fun. I think the game is fun, and you can get it for cheap. All the better.
I'll wait till Spider-Man comes out for Xbox.
Well, you shouldn't wait a long fucking time.
I know.
Maybe you will be waiting forever.
No, that's actually my point. I'm just like, I'm not going to bother with it if I'm not going to have a complete game.
Hey, maybe I'll end up on Game Pass someday.
Maybe.
We need a player base desperately.
Too bad Jacob doesn't have Game Pass.
Oh.
I thwart them at every turn.
Here's some friggin' weird news. Post Malone is teaming up with Pokemon to have a virtual concert on February 27th.
Where?
It's virtual. On the internet. It's on the internet.
Well, no shit. I mean, like no, because I mean, like, sometimes there's been, like, virtual concerts in, like, Fortnite and shit like that. I was just like, how are they going to do it? Like, is it going to be in a Pokemon game, or is it just going to be up on, like, the Pokemon site?
I think it's just going to be up on the website and on Twitch and on YouTube and on all that fun stuff.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, Post Malone and Pokemon. Post Malone, come on.
Don't talk. Just stop.
Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition sales have topped 1 million units.
Hooray! So congrats to Tales.
Yay!
It's a cool game.
Yeah, and that is my news. Either of you have any important news? I gotta qualify that.
Yes, I have important news.
Okay, right. What do you have?
First off, the trailer for Mortal Kombat finally got released today.
That was a good trailer.
After they released the character posters the other day, there's still a lot of speculation as to who the new guy is. A lot of people think he's going to end up being Johnny Cage. I don't know. The thing is, that speculation I read before they released the trailer, so I don't know. I just don't know where, like, the new guy fits in. It seems kind of odd. I'm looking forward to it. It looks like it'll at least be a good action movie.
Yeah, like they are not running away from the R rating. Like, that trailer was gory as fuck.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Ripping Jax's arms off was pretty nice.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
And then I appreciate the fact that Sony announces that Kano is on their team. Are they just not even going to pretend that we're getting a heel turn here?
See, the thing is that, like, I think the audio was kind of like they were just reading off the different people, and like I don't think she was actually saying that he was on their team. I think it was just, oh, we're announcing Kano.
Yeah, like, they're just saying their names like they were Pokemon.
Kano
Zero Sub.
What other news you got?
So there's that. Metal Gear Solid, the board game, has been canceled. So pretty much IDW, who was publishing it, just straight up canceled it back in December 2020. The guy who created the game, he has gotten back the rights to the design, and will be exploring getting the rights from Konami, but nothing is guaranteed. And it's not even guaranteed that the board game will come out under a different name. Hmm. So there's that. Microsoft announced a new program that is going to help devs make games more accessible.
I figured Cole would bring that up, but yeah, we know what happened there.
Yeah. So pretty much what it sounds like is that they send footage. I don't know if they send the game or if it's just they send footage or like instructions and all this kind of stuff. But essentially they have a team of accessibility experts who will then send back notes to the game devs, and then they can, you know, help improve the accessibility of the game, which I think that sounds like a really awesome program to have.
Hey, anything that gives more accessibility options in games is good.
Yeah.
You mentioned Microsoft. You might as well mention that they announced FPS boost for select titles with backward compatibility.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was hyping up a backward compatibility announcement, and I was hoping it meant the restart of the program, but now all they're doing is just like beefing up existing games to take more advantage of the Series X and Series S hardware, which is cool, but you know, 50 Cent Blood on the Sand still isn't playable on Xbox One, so fucking fix that shit.
What are you fucking doing?
That game is awesome.
I was going to say, it's just like, I know some people might view that comment in jest, but I actually played that game as well. I was surprised how good it was.
Yeah.
Like, it had no business being that good. Because I do remember the first game, Bulletproof, and it was meh. But yeah, Blood on the Sand was surprisingly good.
Yeah, we need that playable. Or give us a remaster. Come on.
Come on.
Come on. All right, what else, Jacob?
Sent Ultimate Collection.
Pedro Pascal's been hired to play Joel in the HBO series based on The Last of Us, in case that matters to anybody.
You're the only one who cares about TV and movie news.
Okay.
Yeah. I wonder if the show will also be boring and disappointing.
Also in TV movie news that Joe definitely won't care about, Dota is getting an anime series on Netflix.
Ooh, yeah, I care about it. I'm fully on board for that one.
It's Dota and anime, your two most favorite things. Yeah. So,
at in a thousand.
And then pretty much I just got two other things. Robert Altman, who was the CEO and chairman of ZeniMax, passed away.
That's old news.
Okay, I didn't know if it had been covered. Also, it wasn't old news. I mean, it was announced on the 11th, so I didn't know if it had been covered last week.
It was right, covered like 2 weeks ago when he died.
Well.
Yeah. You gotta get your shit together, Jacob. Pay attention to the show. Right.
No. If I'm not on, I don't pay attention. You know? And even then, that's kind of questionable.
True.
And then the other one is Stan Lepard, who is a composer for a number of video games like Halo Reach, Halo ODST. Crimson Skies 1 and 2, Shadowrun, he passed away as well. So, also worked on Microsoft Encarta.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's pretty much all the news, unless we want to discuss All Your Base Are Belong to Us, so being 20 years old now.
No, I feel old enough the way it is. Tim, any news from you, or should we move on to the reviews?
Hold on. Before you ask Tim about that, going back to like how old you feel with that announcement. So I shared the Ars Technica article about how the meme was turning 20 years old. I shared it with a bunch of my coworkers who are all younger than me. And I just want, like, they're all just like, yeah, I don't know what this is. I was 6 when this came out. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, we're old.
Yeah,
Raider Biz shared some news that Bungie is expanding its studio headquarters, and they're going to be expanding into non-Destiny games.
Yay.
Yeah, let's get to reviews. We got 3 games to talk about tonight. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
All right.
My body is ready.
Your body is ready for SNK versus Capcom, the match of the millennium, developed and published by SNK, released February 17th on the Switch for $7.99. SNK and Capcom brought their best fighters together for a fighting game extravaganza. It's the dream collab that can fit in your hands. Tim, tell us about SNK versus Capcom, the match of the millennium.
Oh my God, this game. Holy shit.
This game.
The lost entry to the SNK Capcom series, because it was on Neo Geo Pocket, and nobody had one, except my friend Dave, who actually had one. So I actually played this game on a Neo Geo Pocket, like, once or twice.
Ottavino?
Yep, Dave Ottavino. He's had one. Come back. Probably still has it.
It's been too long. He's been pick his ass first.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd love that. I think Dave Ottavino loves it. It's an ass whooping.
Mess up his hair for us.
Ooh, man. Ultimate sin. Throw some Gorilla Glue into it, apparently. So, yeah, this game was only on Neo Geo Pocket. Obviously, it is coming out as part of this kind of series of Neo Geo Pocket re-releases on the Switch. First time the game has been available on something else, you know, in a legally distributed format. and I mean, that cartridge will run you, if you're trying to get it for Neo Geo Pocket, like the actual cartridge. That it is not cheap. So $8, you're already way ahead of the game. So yeah, this was the first SNK versus Capcom game, preceding even Capcom versus SNK, which came out, I think, actually in 2000. This came out at the end of 99, both of them themed around the match of the millennium, or the millennium fight, as it were. And this game, I remember it being a really cool portable fighting game, at the time. It was probably easily the best portable fighting game at the time. There was certainly not that much competition in the space. I mean, now as it is on the Switch, you just have fucking Mortal Kombat on there, like, whatever. You know, you don't have so much of the fighting game specifically designed for a portable space, as they were back then. But this is still a pretty cool game. So Neo Geo Pocket. So yeah, it's SNK characters versus Capcom characters, and by Capcom characters they mean mostly Street Fighter characters. There's a couple characters from Darkstalkers, but it's mostly Street Fighter guys. On the SNK side, it's a mix of, you know, some King of Fighters, some Fatal Fury, some Samurai Showdown. Athena is in there. There's some unlockable characters on both sides that you can unlock by playing the game, earning points. And the Neo Geo Pocket is a is a two button system. You got your A and you got your B. So how does that work? Old school. So the way they kind of made that work is you still have heavy and light attacks, and it depends on how long you press the button. And you really got to give it the light tippy tap if you want the light attack to come out. It's a feel thing. It's a thing you can get used to. It is not ideal. I think in an ideal world, in a more thorough port, they probably would have broken out those button presses, two other buttons on the Switch. But since this is just like a straight emulation of the game, that does not happen. But it's workable. It's fine. You just got to get used to it. And I think it works for the most part. The characters are really well designed for a portable game. Like, they're kind of chibi, I guess. They have really pronounced heads and fists and feet, to make them, you know, what stand out on what was not a backlit screen at the time. It's a distinct enough art style. I mean, there was like literally a game that came out called Pocket Fighter or something like that, that is actually out on the Switch that emulates this art style, you know. So like it definitely had a distinct style to it. Pocket Fighter is a different game. That's a Capcom game. Anyways, it also looks like Pocket Fighter, that Capcom game. Anyways,
I thought that was what you were talking about.
No, there's another one. I don't remember what it's called, but like there was a more recent game that specifically aped this style. And the feel of it is still pretty good. Like, characters have, like, their full set of special moves. They're decently well animated. They have super attacks. There are, like, different stance types you can pick for your characters, like attack-oriented ones or a counter-oriented one, and they give your character different properties and different meter properties. You can play the game as a, like, one-on-one fighter, as a team fighter, or as a, a larger team fighter, I guess I should say, is like, one, two, or three characters. So if it's just one character, then it's just, you know, single one-on-one fights. If you go with a team, then you can actually actively tag in and out, which was also a crazy thing for, like, any video game in the year 2000. Like, fighting games that had tag in the arcade did not have tag at home unless you had a RAM cart stuck in your Saturn, basically. And on the Dreamcast, like, yeah, it also worked. But I guess, you know, sort of straddling that moment in video game transitions, like, it was not very common. And if you have a three-character team, then it kind of plays out like a King of Fighters thing where just one character dies and then the next... Well, not dies. They're knocked out. I don't think they're murdering each other. This is a Mortal Kombat. you knock one character down, then the next character comes in. So there's that going on. Each character, you know, in the arcade mode, there's like a little bit of a story which plays out pretty much the same for each character. Like, their dialogue is different, but it's like, you know, Geese Howard and M. Bison are teamed up and doing bad shit. And, you know, you play through a few levels, and then there's kind of like the last three levels are always the same, where you're fighting like a team of clones, and then you fight the team of Geese and Bison, and then you fight either Evil Ryu or extra Evil Iori, as it were. But on top of that arcade mode, you know, there's a training mode, there's versus mode. They have a event mode, or it's like Olympic mode, which has some unique modes in it. Some of the modes are just like your standard, like, score attack, like endurance battle, like time attack type shit. But there's some other, like, weird stuff in there as well that is interesting to play around with. And you'll see some other characters that aren't in other parts of the game in there as well. As far as the port goes, so when you start up the game, you will see an entire Neo Geo Pocket Color on your Switch screen. You can zoom it in so far as that, basically, like, the Neo Geo, like, the actual play screen will go to the top and bottom of your Switch with, like, a little bit of extra frame on the side, which is how I preferred to play. And it comes out to a decent size. And I think it looks good because the characters are so chonky as it is. It is playing it in Neo Geo Pocket Color, so the characters are, you know, they do have color, the backgrounds are full color, so there's that. I think it kind of would have been cool to have a straight black and white mode on there, which I did not see. There is not, like, a ton of options in the system menu, just like a little bit of you know, zoom adjustment, and you can pick different colors for your virtual Neo Geo Pocket. You have the game manual there, which you can pull up and flip through and zoom in on, which is how you would access a move list, because the game did not have a built-in move list. So you pull up the manual and you flip the pages to the character you want to look at and see what their moves are.
Pages.
Yep. Yeah,
and that's about as crazy as No Time for Games, who just subbed for 33 months.
Oh my God. Well, we have to keep going for another year and a half, two and a half years there, 3 years. That's a number of years. Yep. So we are now committed for another, like, 200 episodes.
Shit.
But thank you.
Look what you did, Joe. Look what you fucking did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, SNK versus Capcom. So,
yeah.
Sounds like another winner. So $8 on it. What do you think?
So yeah, that's well worth it at that price. I think, like, you know, it's
significantly cheaper than actually owning it.
That, but it is a, you know, not to, you know, mince words here, it is still a portable fighting game from 20 years ago. It's not like it holds up in the likes of Guilty Gear Strive or anything like that, but I think it does hold up, like, in its own way. It is a little bit simplistic, but, and it's just such a cool piece of history. The one caveat is a piece of news I've been holding in my back pocket. Is SNK announced that they're doing a compilation of their recent Neo Geo Pocket Color releases into an all-in-one compilation for the Nintendo Switch, which would include this game as well as Samurai Showdown 2 and Gal Fighters and King of Fighters R2, Fatal Fury, First Contact, and Last Blade Beyond the Destiny. So maybe, I don't know, it might be like they didn't announce like a release date or a price, so it might be worth waiting to hear or see how that plays out. And if you want to buy the whole compilation, because I certainly probably almost definitely will, after having I haven't checked out any of the other releases yet, but having played this one, I'm definitely more interested in checking them out. So yeah, compilation coming, so keep an eye out for that.
Either way, it sounds like you should own it at some point in time.
Yeah, it's such a fucking cool game. It's so cool. I really like it.
And I love seeing them bring these titles to the Switch. I mean, this is shit you wouldn't find anywhere.
Yeah. It's just the cool. Only other way is if you can, if Analog puts out more pockets for pre-order, and then you get the cartridge adapter, and then you get a cartridge, and at that point you've spent like $400 to play this. And instead, you could just pay
Spend eight. Yeah.
If you already own a Switch. And if you have to get a Switch, well,
it's
a
Lite is cheaper.
You're still saving money in the end, no matter what you do. I heard there's a Monster Hunter one coming out. Maybe you like that one. I don't know.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. Well, Tim, that's it for you. We'll let you get going.
Yeah.
Thank you, as always, cool. for being here. Do you have any final words?
I don't think I do. I don't. Sorry.
Going to watch Elimination Chamber on Sunday?
No, I'm not. Nope, sorry. Maybe, I guess, depending on what my evening looks like. I might, but probably not. I'll be down for WrestleMania when that rolls around, though.
Nice.
For sure. Alrighty.
Cool. Take it easy.
Catch you later. Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
All right, Jacob, you ready for your two?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, because the next game to talk about is Ultra Goodness 2, developed by Rasul Mano, published by Rattlelake Games, released February 9th on PS4 and PS5, 10th on Xbox One and Series X and S, 12th on the Switch for $4.99. Ultra Goodness 2 is a bloody mess of a dynamic and fun action game about the struggle between good and evil in the world. Dark forces are ready to be torn to pieces in this bloody action game, but now it's blended with time manipulation and the availability of a permanent companion cat, which already earns bonus points for me. Jacob, tell us about Ultra Goodness 2.
So it's a top-down shooter, and you're pretty much just like running around inside this forest, and you have to pretty much destroy a bunch of traps, avoid some traps because it can't get destroyed. And then there's just all sorts of enemies that are coming at you, whether they're killer rabbits, like little devil creatures, these huge like bat like things. I don't know.
Exploding mushrooms are always fun.
Yeah. Oh my God. The exploding mushrooms were fantastic. Cause they made some of the levels hell of a lot easier. but yeah, it's just, you're running around and you just shoot everything, and then once like it's through like a maze of a forest, and then like once you've taken care of everybody, you just warp to the next level and do wash rinse repeat. Yeah,
this like, isn't a very complex game.
No, it's fairly simple, it's straightforward. You know, I mean, I've been enjoying these kind of games since what the heck was it, I made a game with zombies in it for the Xbox 360, if you remember that.
Made a game with zombies in it.
That's a game that we need on Xbox One and Series X. but yeah, it's just, you just run around and you do that. That's really all that there is to it. Like, I don't know what else to say about it. It's a lot of fun. It's how much do they want for it?
$5.
$5. Totally worth it.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that. It's a simple, straightforward game. It's cute. It's bloody, but it's not like M-rated bloody. It's cartoon bloody.
So yeah,
it still might not be good for kids, but
yeah, because Joe had to, because I believe Cole was supposed to review this.
Cole and Chris.
Oh, well, wow. Okay.
Well, basically, so anyone who was around to talk about it was going to review this one.
Yeah, so then today you got me a copy to review, And initially I was just like, oh, well, can I, you know, I don't know if I'll have enough time, you know, can I play this around my kids? And you're like, no, no. I wholeheartedly agree with that assessment. Yeah, this is not appropriate for kids. But at the same time, yeah, it's not Mortal Kombat levels of gore, but it's a bloody good time.
Ah, fucking hate you so much. Final game to talk about tonight is called Kick It Bunny, developed and published by Dilly Frame Games. It released February 18th on Xbox One for $9.99. Solve block puzzles in the bunny world by kicking it, but keep in mind, sometimes it can be difficult. You can play the game alone or with friends. Jacob, tell us about Kick It Bunny. Hey, I want to point out, Jacob, you requested this one.
Yeah, so I did.
Tell us about Kick It Bunny.
Are we allowed to tell people about my request or no?
What do you mean?
Like what you had initially told me?
We covered a Dilly Frame title on the show a while back, and it wasn't the greatest game. It was clunky. It had issues. I don't know how the rest of the games have been, but it's, you know, tell us what your thoughts were.
I was warned that. And so I'm just like, all right, yeah, whatever. Like, you know, the 30 seconds I had seen in a trailer looked okay enough. So pretty much you are this bunny that is on this tropical island area, and you have to put all these puzzles together all over the island. There's 50 of them. Okay. And they all range from, you know, generally easy to pretty difficult. And the only way that you are able to put the puzzles together is by having your little rabbit guy or girl. I don't know. Your little rabbit, put them together by kicking them. And so your rabbit has to move around and kick. And the controller has a force feedback of vibration every single time you kick. And this cannot be turned off.
Oh.
And I, like, as soon as I realized that, I was just like, oh, this is not going to get better. So when you're doing the puzzles, each area that you get to, you're going to notice that there's only 4 puzzle pieces out. And that's because you have to move them off of the platforms to bring out all of the other puzzle pieces. So when you initially start, you don't even have all the pieces together. And then on top of it, depending on where you're at, some of the animals will start being a dick to you and they'll just kick you randomly away from the arena. Like the alligators are the worst offenders on this. And it's just, they just pick on you for like no reason whatsoever. And the thing is that if you retaliate by kicking them, all they do is just bring in their friends and they'll just keep coming until they've kicked you. And then they'll come back like 3 minutes later and kick you again. And so you have to go get all of the puzzle pieces out, start looking and figuring out where all of them might go, while also evading these dickhead animals all over the island. And
these dickhead animals.
So initially I was just like, okay, right, it's a little bit of a challenge. It's a weird gimmick, but okay, I'll deal with it. The graphics are not great, to say the least. I showed my wife, you know, what I was playing, and she was just like, the world in the original Spyro game, like for PlayStation, that had a bigger world. And also it was more detailed. And I was just like, yeah. So it's one of those things you have to see it to believe it. Like the character's walking animation, it looks like a pre-viz that you see like in like a behind the scenes for a CGI movie of like when they're just like having like the characters like just walk, like as they're like trying to determine how the scene's going to play out. It looks like that. Like the rabbit's feet don't look like they're actually touching the ground. The run animation is pretty much just like the character is just sped up. It's just the walking animation just slightly quicker. So he's not really running. He's speed walking all over the island. I did appreciate the exploration aspect of it. And it was fun looking at all the other different animals. But, like, it's just not fun. Like, I don't know how else to put it. It's just, like...
It sounds like it just didn't improve much from the other bunny games that have come out. I know there have been a few of them on the Creators Club, and they've been, like, making their way over to Xbox. I haven't played them, so I can't comment on them outside of the first game, but I really didn't enjoy my time with it, and it sounds like you didn't either.
No, and it's the whole puzzle aspect of it is just such an odd choice to only make certain puzzle pieces available at any given time, and then so you literally have to kick the other puzzle pieces off of the platforms just so the other ones will generate, and it's like, why wouldn't you just have them out all at the beginning? Like, it just doesn't make sense. I don't get it. And it's just not good. So. Well,
$10, I need a verdict.
Absolutely not. I wouldn't even recommend this on sale.
Well, maybe if it's $2, I might pick it up.
I
pick up everything for $2.
That's, you are a whore.
I am. Thank you for noticing.
It's hard not to notice your boorish ways. But yeah, it's just, no. This is not good. Like, there's just no two ways about it.
Oh, well. That is it for this episode.
So we don't have time?
Fuck it. Do it.
Yeah!
One more game to talk about. You wanted to talk about this one. What is it?
Star Wars Episode One Racer. Heck yeah. Because it was on sale for like half off a few weeks ago, and it rekindled my teenage years.
So Star Wars Episode One Racer, available on, I believe, all platforms. I should look up how much it costs. You remember how much it was?
I think it's $15.
So tell us about the game.
So pretty much, if you had a Nintendo 64 around the same time that Episode One came out, like, you knew about this game. I mean, it was the absolute tits. It was a sneak preview behind Episode One, but also, you know, delve more into the ever-growing Star Wars universe at the time. And so it's pretty much just, like, if you saw Episode One, you know the famous pod racing scene, which, you know, is kind of like Ben-Hur's chariot races. Pod racing is just two jet engines with a little spot for your guy to hang out in, strapped to it. And it's very fast, very dangerous. You're going through canyons, you're going underwater, you're going through mining shafts because pod racing is a tad illegal in most areas of the galaxy. And it's, yeah. And so it's really just high-speed racing.
So this was originally an N64 game, correct?
Originally released on N64, got PC, Dreamcast, I want to say PlayStation. I think it got PlayStation. I know the sequel got released on PS2. But yeah. Oh, and also it was out on Game Boy Color, which I used to play the hell out of. So.
No time for games. I'm trying to forget that they made an Episode One of Star Wars. Shots fired.
I'll be honest. I'm at the point where I am. I would take Episode One over Episode Nine. All right, that's neither here nor there, because we're here to talk about the game anyway. So as you go through the races, you unlock more pod racers and their vehicles, which, you know, of course gives you more options, and as you continue to race, your pod racer breaks down, like the different parts, and so you have to replace them. So you can either buy, you know, used parts or brand new ones, but provided that you don't suck, it really shouldn't be an issue to be able to buy new ones as you need them. You can also buy pit droids, which help slow down the deterioration of your racer. So with that, it's a straight port. I mean, obviously the controls have been, you know, righted for Xbox and PlayStation and Switch and all that kind of stuff, because you're not playing with a 64 controller anymore. And yeah, it just feels right. Like, the graphics, I don't think have actually been improved. If they have, then I mean, the
game, I'm sure they got a resolution bump, but overall, it's probably still the same game.
I was gonna say it's not. If there is a resolution bump, it's, I didn't think it was that noticeable. It's with, but
look
it
at
is
his,
like,
I'll tell you now, look at his screenshot and then look at an N64 game. There absolutely is a resolution bump.
Okay.
And the fact that it's in widescreen, like, there was visual work done on the game. I'm guessing because it's from Aspyr, we're doing the stubs port, we're going to see the same level on that.
Okay. So. I'm just trying to check out what it, well, whatever. I could look later. I mean, it looked a lot like when I was playing Jedi Knight back in the day. So, although nowadays, now that like I've like watched like a bit, lot of Boundary Break, like I'm now really curious as to like how the tracks were done and all that kind of stuff. But anyways, it just looks glorious. I'll tell you what, like, you're going through that Boon to Eve Classic, which is the very first level that you get to go through. You're blasting through that canyon, like through that little tight hole in the canyon, like just going at 700 miles an hour. Oh my God, it feels so good. I am so glad that they re-released this game. It's a lot of fun. There's split screen multiplayer, no online, which, whatever. But my only issue with the game is that, they didn't really do a lot to explain the mechanics, and I kind of forgot how the turbo boost worked, with that. And so I actually had to look that up. And then once I did, I was like suddenly winning races again because suddenly I remembered how to go fast, faster, I should say. And from what I understand, all the old cheat codes are there in the game. They don't affect the achievements. So if you need some help, winning those last few races, you can go off and do that. But yeah, I'm really glad that they took the time to re-release this game. I'm hoping that they do other games from that era. Cause one game that, I really enjoyed that nobody else seems to remember is Battle for Naboo, which was another episode one game, but I'd love to see that getting the same care and attention that this one did. So,
well, $15, your verdict.
Hell yeah. I mean, I bought it when it was 50% off, and I was just like, fuck yes. $15 is also a fuck yes.
Cool. All right. Well, then that's it for this episode. Made it through another one. Jacob, thanks for being here, hanging out, filling in for Cole, you and Tim. Shout out again. I don't know. I mean, we made it. Oh.
Who would you rather be stuck on a desert island with? Cole or Tim and I? Oh, shit. You'd throw yourself into the ocean, wouldn't you?
Probably. Yeah, drowning sounds good. So, thanks again to Alexander and Purnell for the first half of the show. Hopefully that happens because I record it tomorrow.
Fingers crossed.
No, not tomorrow. On Saturday. I don't even know what fucking day it is. I'm ending this show. Good night, everyone.
Bye.